Only 300 left to go. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every show will be offered completely commercial-free. And we only need 300 more subscribers. So please, go to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, men, children, women, girls, narcissists, reaching out to the narcissists this morning. Self-centered, egomaniacal narcissists. That's what it's all about today, because that's who I am. I am Mark Maron, the man diva. I am the man diva.
Can I say a special good morning to our black nationalist friends?
Yes, Mark Riley. That's Mark Riley, and we are here. I'm responding to an email, of course, but I'm not going to go into it. But I do like the Man Diva title. I will take Man Diva. I'm going to try and make it even sound more manly. How you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling okay. I got kind of out of sorts because I traveled home during the rush hour yesterday because I went to see that movie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we're gonna talk movies with Kent Jones in the third hour of our wonderful broadcast. You saw the movie, you didn't love the movie, but we're gonna get into details after.
We'll get into details after this on our non-white supremacist radio show.
Yeah, you know, you're baiting me a little bit.
No, I
feel it. I feel like, you know.
No. Bush, Kerry, Heath.
I want to talk about, like, I had a weird thing. I want to talk about me for a little while.
There you go.
Because that's what I do here on Morning Sedition, because part of my job is to talk about me.
But that doesn't mean you're a white supremacist.
Oh, I've got nothing to do with white supremacists. Now, you know,
Don't do it. It's only 8 minutes after the hour. You don't want to start people off that way this morning.
I aggravated a black person is what I did.
Yes, you did.
I did. I aggravated a black person. An emailer was aggravated. Yeah, me, you, and Chuck, we had a nice time.
Yeah, I thought we did.
He dropped by yesterday. We had a nice chat. We had a good time. He was on his way to do his show.
Yeah.
And it was the end of the show. We were trying to close up shop, you know, and it was interpreted by a listener that I was somehow rude. That you guys were talking about something that I didn't quite, you know, jive with, so I was accused of, you know, turning the conversation a different way. Specifically, which I wasn't quite doing, we were trying to end the show. Chuck had a good time. There was no hard feelings around here.
No!
But I was indicted by this person.
But you weren't tried and convicted.
By this person, who I don't know whether it was a male or female person. I couldn't
but
tell
we kind of assumed that the person was black.
Oh, no. There's no question about whether or not the person was black. You know, I
don't read any. Come on. People got coffee. They're getting ready to sit down, too. You don't want to get people into all kinds of angry
I'm not angry.
Table.
You know, the thing is, it's like, you know, why do I entertain, you know, people's input that is clearly hostile, mean, and there's no winning it, really. Though some of the points, you know, I understood, and some of the points I've thought about myself, but, you know, entertainment is entertainment. But let's talk about what's going on in the world.
That's a good idea.
What's going on in my world, quickly. I've just realized that it turns out my wife went to get insurance, you know, for
on you?
No, to get on my insurance.
The health insurance. Okay.
And,
that must have been a treat.
Well, here's the deal, man. It's like, you know, we got married, and we sent off the marriage thing that we signed, you know.
Yeah.
But apparently we're supposed to get something back from the state, like a notarized state, you know, deemed or whatever, state certified marriage certificate,
right,
which we never got because she went to apply for the insurance, get on my insurance. They said, we need the state, the notarized certificate. And we're like, we don't have that. So right now, we don't know if we're really married. Because we sent the thing in.
You're giving her a chance to change her mind?
Yeah, who's getting the chance? You know, the thing is, it's like it's a weird moment. Like, you know, we've, you know, because we've been married now for, what, 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it's not going to change much. We have the ceremony. We have the document, but we don't have the state, you know.
With the raised seal.
Right, that they send back to you.
Yeah.
So she's got to call today to make sure they got the first one, because I didn't realize, you know, I'm hoping that maybe it's just something you got to ask for, and that, you know, it just, it doesn't matter either way, but it's just sort of a weird moment where, like, I said to her, I said, so if we're not married, you still want to be married, right? Because it's almost like, you know, we're 6 months in, and we've been given an opening.
A do-over.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
If you want out, you can go out now, you know, without any real penalty. But no, I think it's going to be fine.
See, here in New York, I think, in my memory of us getting married, my wife and I getting married, is a little dim because it's been almost 14
Ooh,
years now.
Buddy.
I know. I'm not taking a chance, but it's only 11 after the hour. It's early.
She's
not up.
Okay.
But I think we got everything together. You know, that because we did get something with a race seal, which we still have, but we didn't get it in the mail. I think we got it when we went, you know, to do all of the civil papers prior to the actual religious marriage service.
Yeah.
So maybe they do it different in California. Maybe you just go, you get the initial paperwork, and then I guess they send you the race seal.
Well, that's what happens. You register, you get a marriage license,
mm-hmm.
and then you go do your thing, and you get married. And then you send that paperwork back.
Oh,
and I
okay.
guess you're supposed to get something back.
Something back in the mail, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you all are still, but you're still legally married, man. There's nothing to worry about. She still gets half?
I'm not worried about it. She does get half.
Hey, that's the nature of the beast, man. California. Ed, you remember that Eddie Murphy record?
Hey,
California, half.
Yeah, right, that's right. That's
I'm
right.
not messing with, no, man, because I'd have to give her half.
Well, know? I did that thing, like, you know, that, because when you're early in your marriage, you know, you got to start to, you know, she's a little nervous about spending my money. And I said, no, you know, here, take. Just, you know,
take
the credit card, the joint account's there, and then, like, I walked away from that. I'm like, what I just like, you know, what did I just make happen? How is this? But, you know, it's got to be the way it goes. I can't have her, you know, walking around, you know, feeling guilty if she doesn't have a few bucks.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, Misha doesn't strike me. I've only met her twice, but she doesn't strike me as a person that's going to, you know, oh, Tiffany's, hey! that doesn't seem to be part of her thing.
No, her thing is, oh, Tiffany's on sale.
For only.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This thing would have been $13,000 if it was, like, you know, in the showroom.
Yeah.
I got it for $6,000.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
That's 50% off, don't you see?
More than our house cost.
Yeah.
No, but no, she's not like that. It's all it's all good. You know, this is one of those conversations where we start talking, I'm like, uh-oh. if I'm not careful, well, she's definitely not listening because they don't even get it in L.A. She's got to, you know, take two
She's
steps.
Got a computer, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
She can stream us at morningtradition.com, can't she?
Her computer's like a dying car. She has this computer. they're so, like, it's constantly breaking down for whatever reason, and the fan doesn't work properly, so she's literally got to prop it up on stilts in order for it not to overheat. It's hilarious. Moving on. Let's see. You know, the Bush campaign is picking up. I want to read this quote directly, you know, out of the New York Times Magazine piece that they're trying to manipulate. The Bush campaign is trying to manipulate a Kerry quote.
This is desperation manipulation.
Okay.
As Jesse Jackson would say.
I'm definitely with you on that. This is the quote. I'll just read the whole paragraph from the writer of the piece, a guy named Matt Bay, who is questionable. Matt Bay, who is questionable, not because he might be bi, but because he's run into some problems before.
Oh, okay.
Quote, this is just a whole paragraph, and I'll put the quotes in where he put them in. When I asked Kerry what it would take for Americans to feel safe again, he displayed a much less apocalyptic worldview. Quote, we have to get back to the place we were, where terrorists are not the focus of our lives, but they're a nuisance, end quote. Kerry said, quote, as a former law enforcement person, I know we're never going to end prostitution, we're never going to end illegal gambling, but we're going to reduce it, organized crime, to a level where it isn't on the rise, it isn't threatening people's lives every day, and fundamentally, it's something that you continue to fight, but it's not threatening the fabric of your life, end quote. And I think it's interesting that the Bush campaign picked up on this idea of nuisance, that he was diminishing the idea of terrorism, diminishing the threat of terrorism, you know, in how we look at it today, whereas they do nothing but aid terrorists in spreading the message of terrorism in order to consolidate their own base. They are terrorists. You know, the Bush administration and the Bush campaign team wants nothing more than to keep America frightened in order to, you know, consolidate power.
A state of perpetual war that some people, and Mark, I don't know whether it's me or maybe just the people I'm running into in the last couple of weeks or so, but I keep hearing the word fascism more and more frequently.
Yeah.
When attached to a second Bush term. Now, you know, for Americans, and these are not crazy people, all right? These are not insane people. But for Americans, to talk about the possibility of fascism in this country is a chilling, chilling thing.
Absolutely. And we'll hear from our president, we'll talk more about this issue specifically. It's 15 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now in Berkeley paperback.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes get a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know Cordislim people. You run into those Cordislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, Cordislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. Cordislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the Cordislim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cordislim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right. With die guards,
Now, don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in them.
But, Daddy...
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean-looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Talking about George Bush. Talking about George Bush taking quotes from John Kerry out of context in order to trivialize a fairly progressive and visionary approach to handling the global terrorism problem, as opposed to the way that Bush is doing it by terrifying the population of the United States into thinking there is no other way to handle the terrorist problem other than rehiring George Bush and Bush. And John, and what's his name? Dick Cheney.
Oh, please. So please.
Yeah, right? Let's hear that quote there, Kalo.
Our goal is not to reduce terror to some acceptable level of nuisance. Our goal is to defeat terror by staying on the offensive, destroying terrorist networks, and spreading freedom and liberty around the world.
Wow. Desperation disguised as passion, as conviction.
Yeah, but also very calculated. Because from a technical standpoint, Bush knows tomorrow night's debate is not supposed to be about all this, okay? It's supposed to be about domestic issues.
Mm-hmm.
The only way he can backdoor this stuff in is by looking at it in terms of homeland security, which isn't quite a great fit. So what does he do for the 48 hours in the run-up? He hits Kerry while Kerry's talking about energy, which is a legitimate thing to talk about. Bush hits him again on the terror issue because that's the one area that Bush knows he has an advantage and he wants to widen it.
Okay, so you're saying that, you know, in light of his domestic failures, which are many.
Which are too numerous to mention in the three-hour radio program.
He's making issue of taking something that Kerry said out of context.
Completely and utterly out of context. And it speaks to a fundamental difference between the Bush administration and what Kerry is talking about. Mark, you spoke the other day. Quite prophetically, I think, about the whole notion of dealing with the war on terror, at least in part, as a law enforcement problem,
right,
which is something that the Bush administration will climb all over anyone who advocates. But the fact of the matter is, and I heard this on a radio show yesterday, people talking about the fact that the intelligence community, CIA, FBI, the rest of these people in Washington, have so poorly recruited the current crop of case officers that they have no one who can really cultivate informants who are really key to fighting the war on terror.
And you know that they're possible because, you know, I read, you know, in Peter Bergen's book in Holy War Incorporated, you start to realize that because of the franchising of Al-Qaeda, because there are several different cells, there are several different factions within Al-Qaeda, there's inner, you know, terrorist franchise competition.
Absolutely.
So whenever that's there, you can find rats. You know, whenever there is, you know, a business sort of mindset at hand to where you have competing entities, there are people willing to rat for whatever reason. Yet these people you're talking about, these officers, were not experienced enough to seek these rats out and make them work.
They were not just inexperienced, they were incompetent. This was not something that they did well going into the agencies.
Right.
Now, this is ex-CIA guys saying this. And what they said was the place where you go to find people who can cultivate this kind of informants, street level informants, which is how you infiltrate an organization like Al-Qaeda, is you go to police departments.
Right.
You go to the LAPD. You go to the NYPD. You go to these different agencies who have, large numbers of detectives and officers with a history of recruiting this kind of rat.
Right.
And but they haven't done it.
Right, because they choose to go with the state-sponsored model. That
yes.
Because they were Cold War thinkers, they decided that the way to do this was connect the terrorism to a state and then attack a country.
Yep.
Obviously, there are ulterior motives with Iraq, this sort of free market utopia, you know, stealing the oil, and this democratic, this violent democratic experiment has yielded nothing but chaos. And now, the Israeli intelligence think tank,
oh, yeah.
The JAPI Center for Strategic Studies at Tel Aviv University says that, you know, that Iraq has created momentum for many terrorist elements, but chiefly al-Qaeda and its affiliates. So this is an Israeli intelligence think tank saying that the war that Bush is fighting is a failure. And on top of that, there's reports, this from the Times Online, the British paper, that dig this. However, deteriorating security in Iraq has forced the Pentagon to move Task Force 121, the commando team behind the capture of Saddam, away from Afghanistan. They were in Afghanistan, and looking for bin Laden. It has returned to Iraq to search for Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the terrorist believed to be responsible for the murder of Kenneth Bigley. Now, the thing is that they're saying is that they're trying to underscore the capture of bin Laden now. They're literally saying we have Major General John Cooper.
Yeah.
Quote, from the Afghan point of view, we don't want to focus too much on bin Laden. He's not necessarily the major player. He will be caught one day, but his whereabouts today won't have a huge effect. Now,
they don't know where he is. That's how you translate what you just said.
Or else, you know, Musharraf can't afford to make this concession politically. I have to assume that given that Musharraf's country is you know, primarily Muslim, primarily wants him out, you know, Pakistan, his intelligence unit, the ISI, his intelligence agency, is filled with people that want him out.
Yes.
And I think that his military is half filled with people who want him out. And I'm sure that on some level, they are supporting the Taliban and helping to, you know, to defend bin Laden. So I have a feeling that he knows where he is, but he is not able for his own safety and his country doesn't plunge into chaos, he can't give up the information.
Well, see, a lot of these people have to walk a very thin line. And see, Bush gets some sustenance from this, even as he makes alliances with the House of Saud and Musharraf, neither of whom are elected government leaders. But Bush, you just heard him talk about spreading freedom and democracy, right?
Yeah.
You think he's spreading it to Musharraf? You think he's telling Musharraf, you know, you need to hold an election sometime soon? You think he's saying that to Bandar, his boy?
No, I think he's playing a big political game, and I think that his idea of the war on terror is a failure, and that, you know, the way that Kerry wants to do it is a much more effective way to deal with it internationally. But because of, you know, using terrorism as an excuse to drag us into a war for, you know, his own private purposes and to help his friends who own corporations profit, you know, is what he's really up to.
Well, see, the other thing, Mark, is I really don't think that this administration has a clue how to resolve this thing, or in the absence of them being able to resolve it, how it will resolve itself. I don't think they know. That's why he keeps saying, well, it's going to take all this time. Oh, it's an ongoing war, because they don't have an end game. They haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. And now with Iran, coming into the picture, you know,
with their nuclear weapons, and they want something. When they develop weapons like this and they tell people they're doing it, they want something. They want something from this country. And I don't know how in the world Bush is going to deal with it.
And there's reports out of Iraq that there's all this missing nuclear material.
Mm-hmm.
That the Americans don't know where it is, nor the Iraqis. We're going to talk to Borzu, after this, right?
Yep, we absolutely are. We're going to be talking with Borzu Dereghahi. He reports from the ground in Iran. Then we're going to have the president's palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and much, much more. All for you here on Air America Radio.
The Iraq war has become such a mess that even U.S. soldiers are speaking out against it. Mother Jones reports in its new issue that 54% of military households now oppose the war and that the GI Rights Hotline gets thousands of calls a month from soldiers who want to leave the military. Marine Mike Hoffman started Iraq Veterans Against the War after deciding he'd been lied to by the administration while thousands of soldiers died. Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey, a Marine since 1992, started speaking out against the bloodshed after his unit killed 30 civilians in 2 days for misunderstanding hand signals at roadblocks. Now back at home, he protests with a sign that says, "I killed innocent civilians for our government." Some soldiers are now fleeing to Canada to seek refugee status. As one military leader critical of the war puts it, The most basic tool a soldier needs on the field is a reason to be there. Unfortunately, this tool was left out of their toolkit, and soldiers are dying for a war they can't support. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
We wanted to play you a clip from Sirius Raw Dog's new show, Right Between the Ears, but, well, the show's live, and it starts Saturday, so we don't have anything to play. So we thought we'd improvise.
Two dyslexics walk into a bra! Bra! Dyslexics, get it?
Well, we promise it'll be a lot funnier than that. Right Between the Ears, this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy uncensored.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Heather's teaching kids about money, and they think they need a credit card to get a home loan. I'll answer her email next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Heather emails with questions about loan approval. I'm writing because I have a quick question. I work with a lot of young people that I've been advising to stay away from credit cards. They're concerned because they fear they will not be able to buy a home with a loan if they don't have a credit history. Is this completely true? It's completely untrue. That is one of the biggest lies floating around out there. Fannie Mae, FHA, and VA underwriting guidelines clearly state that if you can get a mortgage company that actually does underwriting, they don't do lending for dummies with a Beacon score only, you can get a home if you have a credit bureau report that has your name, address, and social security number on it and nothing else. If you've been on the job for 2 years steady, you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years steady and can prove it, and if you're not trying to buy too much house with a reasonable down payment and a reasonable payment as a percentage of your income, you qualify for a home. You do not have to take out a credit card or a car loan in order to qualify for a house. That is a lie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
The winds have died down, the rainfalls have ceased, and the devastation left behind from Hurricane Ivan's rampage through the Caribbean is now becoming clear. Grenada was hit hard. Every primary and secondary school on the island was either destroyed or badly damaged. Now, St. George's University needs your help in their effort to rebuild the island schools. Call 1-800-899-6337 to give a helping hand to Grenada's youngsters. 1-800-899-6337. And thank you from the people of Grenada.
I am the Man Diva. Morning's edition.
The Man Diva.
Air America, that's Mark Riley. I am Mark Maron.
Yo.
We are broadcasting from New York City. Welcome. Right now, Ramon just came in.
Yeah.
He said he's going to hang out. He's got to talk to me. So I don't know what that means.
Next maybe, break, I guess.
Yeah, huh? maybe we're replacing. Needs to some time off. He's in trouble. Needs money again. I don't know, but I'll deal with the next break. Here's the president's schedule for today: 8:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message.
Terrorism is not a nuisance. It's the best damn thing to ever happen to this administration. 9:30 a.m. Speaker rally, Colorado Springs Ice Arena, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Note, tell them we'll give the double axle of evil a triple sow cow. 11 a.m. drop in on Columbine NRA chapter. Tell them to just vote and maintain a low profile. Everything will be fine. 12:50 p.m. luncheon, Paradise Valley, Arizona. Traditional Southwestern fare. Gorditas, cinnamon crispas, and a large Mountain Dew. 2 p.m. mirror time. Locate facial expression between scowl and smirk. Skirk. Smowl. 3 p.m. rehearse with John Kerry debate dummy. To wipe that smug look off its face, scream, "You tell Tony Blair we're going it alone." 5 p.m. meet with Karen Hughes. Close your eyes and relax while her words gradually replace reality. 10 p.m. bedtime in Phoenix. Think happy thought. The race is a dead heat, but it's a dry heat. A couple little plugs here. Shall we do it?
Yeah, yeah.
We want to tell you that October 12th, that's today, the voter registration deadline is for Nevada and Oregon today. October 13th is West Virginia. October 20th, Wisconsin. October 23rd, Iowa, New Hampshire, which will not accept your national voter registration form. And November 2nd, you can vote in Maine. These are all the swing state deadlines. In Maine, that day of, you can do that. Upcoming guests, we have Terry McAuliffe coming in on Wednesday. Ron Suskind is on Wednesday as well. Jerry Springer.
Jerry!
Who is a diehard Jerry Springer fan.
Yep.
Is going to be on the phone with us on Thursday. Trey Parker, Matt Stone have declared themselves...
PNG.
Wussies.
Persona non grata.
Not willing to come on. I don't know what the reasons are, but I'm going to take it personally. Okay? And now you can put me right next to Sean Penn and saying, you guys are sort of douchey. That I don't understand, what's the deal? You're going to be in New York. I'm going to see your puppet movie today.
Because, I went yesterday.
I was under the impression that, you guys are going to come in, we're going to have a nice chat and do some funny stuff. But, I don't know, apparently you're too big for that, too condescending, too libertarian, maybe.
Too South Park.
I just fit into the little world that you don't like. I don't know. You see, now I'm taking an upper hand. Maybe I should be more respectful. But, they were supposed to come in. They said they were going to, and now they're not.
Does that mean I can be honest about their movie?
Oh, dude, you can tear it an A.
Okie dokie. We have a segment for that later.
Yes, we're going to do that later. What else? Pashman's Picks, updated throughout the morning at morningsedition.com. You can also email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. I will be this weekend at the Mohegan Sun Casino if you're anywhere in Connecticut or willing to drive up there. It's sort of like Disneyland for people who want to lose money.
And you can take a bus, man. They got about 5 zillion buses from New York.
Yeah, go to Mohegan Sun. What did we figure that was? $15? That ain't bad. It's a nice room. I'm bringing a couple of punks up to open for me. A couple of young cats. They're like, damn, we're going up with Marin. We're going to drive Marin to the show and do some time. These are funny kids. I listen to me calling them kids. I'm like, this.
You going to make them put out the joints?
No,
are.
I wouldn't do
you
that.
You are. You're a teetotaler now.
I know, but I wouldn't smoke.
Yeah?
Sure, man. I mean, it's not my car. And maybe I can pick up a little contact high.
Uh-huh.
So in relation to what we were talking about before, Kayla, why don't you kick that Bush ad up?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the War on Terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We've actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
We're playing this ad as a response to the Bush's attack on the Kerry quote. that he took out of
Clinton's
nonsense.
Quote.
The nuisance. And it's to show that, you know, those are real quotes in that ad from George Bush. And he had moments of clarity and reality that burst through, that he said that there is no winning the war on terror.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, not necessarily a state's, you know, he said everything that he can't say because it goes against the sort of the policy of scaring the hell out of the populace in order to maintain whatever small, following he has among people that are not willing to change their mind.
Well, see, he's reaching out to that base constituency that's afraid. As you pointed out many times before, these folks are afraid. They're afraid of another terror attack. They are afraid of the consequences of a continuing war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at world history, they'd have ample reason to be.
Here we got, joining us by phone right now from Tehran, is Borzu Daragahi, one of our favorite journalists. So you're out of Baghdad and you're in Tehran. That must feel a lot more comfortable.
Hey, Borzu.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Great
here compared to Baghdad.
How does it feel to be out of Baghdad? I mean, you know, is it really, there was a car bomb there the other day. Is it still as bad as it was when we talked to you a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, Baghdad was getting worse, if anything. I think that in terms of being a journalist there, you know, we used to think that we were civilians, we were non-combatants, that we weren't, you know, working for anyone who was on either side, and that we would have a certain level of immunity from the violence, but that appears not to be true anymore.
So, Borzu, I want to talk about how much, now that you're in Iran, how much do you feel that Iran is behind the insurgency? You know what, let's talk about that when I come back from a break. Just hang on there. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Borzu Daragahi. It's 41 past the hour here on Air America Radio.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. ESTER-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold, hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
There is a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we are a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system originally available only for use by therapists is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It doesn't use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It's a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you are tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's www.theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to register for our totally unique service.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory. Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
It always sort of tweaks me out when we come back with sort of like, hey, that's groovy music. Let's go to Iran with Borzu Daragahi. We're on the phone with Borzu in Iran. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Well, Borzu, so how much, can you talk on the phone safely first, I might ask you?
We can talk, yeah.
Okay. How much is Iran behind the insurgency in Iraq from what you can tell?
Well, I mean, the thing to understand about Iran is that there's so many different power centers doing so many different things with very radically different agendas. That's why it's such a confusing place. And you know what? If I was a betting man, I would bet that, yeah, there are certain elements in Iran who are funding, arming certain elements in Iraq. But, I mean, it's really interesting. I was reading this book, A Peace to End All Peace, about the 1920s in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And the British, you know, they were occupying Iraq then, and they were complaining that the Turks, the Russians, the Bolsheviks, the Jews were interfering in Iraq and stirring up trouble. And, you know, history showed later on that, you know, in fact, maybe there were some interference from foreign forces, but what was really happening in Iraq was an out-and-out insurgency by very nationalistic people. And, you know, the Brits blamed everyone but the occupation itself.
So history
repeats
itself.
And I think that might be what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Borzu, what do it's pretty obvious to the world now that Iran is developing nuclear weapons and certainly nuclear weapons technology. What is it that they really want? When the North Koreans develop nuclear technology, the conventional wisdom is they want the United States to sit down at the table with them and negotiate something. Is this a question of the Iranians wanting something from the U.S., or is this just, as we've heard in other quarters, a matter of national pride?
It definitely is a matter of national pride to some extent, you know. I mean, Iran is a very industrialized country at this point, you know, and they see it as a point of science, you know, to get to become a nuclear power. This is also a pretty rough neighborhood, you know. I mean, the way they see it, you know, Pakistan next door has nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, they just fired off a missile with a 900-mile range this morning. You know, Israel probably has 100 nuclear missiles trained on Iran.
Wait a minute, did you say the Pakistanis fired a nuclear weapon with a 900-mile capability?
A nuclear-capable weapon.
Nuclear-capable, okay. But
yeah,
not
that
nuclear.
Just happened this morning. Just hit the wires. No. They fired a missile that can carry nuclear weapons.
I think
miles.
We would have known.
Don't make me nervous over here, boys.
So now we just got reports about this Jaffe Center for Strategic Studies at Tel Aviv University saying that, you know, that the Iraq war is out of control and that terrorism is even worse. What are the implications of that? That Israel has been sort of to the side of this whole conflict. What are the implications of them, you know, publicly admitting on some level that the Americans are failing?
I think that, you know, in the Israeli intelligence people are probably really smart. I don't know for sure, but they've been assessing that for a while. I remember reading the Cy Hirsch article that
months ago that the
Israelis had basically said, "Oh my God, the U.S. is lost. We better find another partner in Iraq." So they started helping the Kurds. That's one of the, you know, really interesting things about Iraq right now. It's like become a hotbed. It's like everyone talks about it. Are the Iranians interfering in Iraq? I think hell yeah. I think everyone is interfering in Iraq at this point. I think the Syrians are interfering. I think the Saudis are interfering. It's just a big mess there in terms of various intelligence places and various intelligence fronts and organizations and, you know, people trying to promote their interests at the cost of the Iraqi people and peace and stability in Iraq.
So the original idea was, you know, obviously that you had these neocons were trying to set up some sort of, you know, free market utopia where they would just divvy up the country for oil interests, and now they've just divvied up the country for complete chaos and everyone's trying to take a grab.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that plan has basically, you know, that vision has not altered, but I think from probably the neocons' point of view, it's like, look, we're there. We control this country, at least nominally. Saddam Hussein is out of the picture. You know, from the neocons' point of view, it's like, you know, 1,000 dead Americans, hey, that's just part of the price of doing business in that part of the world.
Incredible. Borzo, are the Iranian Shia moving back and forth between Iran and Iraq as freely as we had heard earlier, you know, maybe going back a few months? There were a number of reports that the Iranian Shiite mullahs, I guess, the religious leadership, was intent on establishing and strengthening bonds and contacts with their Iraqi Shiite brethren. And we're hearing now that al-Sadr is actually calling on his people to turn in weapons, and they're actually doing it this time. Is that in any way, shape, or form attributable to the Iranians?
I don't, you know, actually, it's interesting. The Sadr family is a very famous clerical family, and they're probably the least Iranian-influenced clerical family in Iraq. But, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, Sadrs are Iraqis, you know, the Hakims, the Sistanis, they're all, you know, Persian, you know, influence and so on. As for the pilgrimage trade, it's dead right now. There's no more pilgrimage, which is really bad for Iraq. I mean, the border is closed for Iranians at this point. There's no pilgrims allowed, but the Iranians think it's just unsafe to let their nationals go there, and the Iraqis have requested that the Iranians close the border. So actually, there is pilgrimage right now between Iran and Iraq, but it's Iraqis coming to Iranian holy sites, spending their money here and draining Iraq of more money. You know, that was one of the good things about the pilgrims going there. They were injecting Najaf and Karbala with lots of cash. And, you know, so, yeah, that's definitely, you know, the influence is, you know, cultural. Mm-hmm. It's religious. They definitely have interest in Iraq, the Iranian clerics. As a matter of fact, they... you know, are pouring lots of money into rebuilding some of the mosques and so on and so forth. And, you know, some people allege that investment is a front for other activities and so on. But that hasn't been proven yet. But, yeah, there's definitely an influence. It's just not clear, and it's really hard to get at. And I know people have been trying to get at it. You know, does that influence, does it go beyond the cultural and religious area? And are they trying to, do paramilitary operations and so on? It's just not clear.
Right. Borzo, enlighten me on something. Forgive my ignorance for this. Do most Iranians see themselves as non-Arabs? I'm just curious because I've heard people say in this country that a lot of Iranians don't consider themselves really to be Arabs.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. You know, the Iranians, they're just generally, and I'm not, you know, I'm of Iranian descent, and I'm totally, I'm shocked by some of their attitudes of the Iranians. There's a lot of racism between Iranians and Arabs, you know, and it's like one of the dirty secrets of Iranian culture is they see themselves as above the Arabs, the Arab hordes and so on, and it's there's a lot of bigotry. There's some bigotry on the Iraqi side, too, not as intense, I think, as on the Iranian side. We are Persians, we are Aryans, we are Indo-European stock, and so they really, really look down on Arabs, generally, and they don't identify with the Iraqi culture in many ways.
So let me just, to close it up here, Borzo, how closely is Iran watching the outcome of our election, and what the implications are there?
I think Iranians are very, very interested in what's happening in the U.S. right now. I think everyone in the world is watching it really intensely. There's an amazing amount of interest in the French media and the Italian media and in the Iranian media. There's definitely on the part of the establishment here they lean towards the Iranian establishment here, the clerical regime. They lean towards Kerry, definitely. I think with the vast majority of the people, and this is the really sad part, I think that there was a period after September 11th when a lot of Iranians were really supportive of the U.S. and very much even some hinting that they would welcome a U.S. invasion of Iraq. But after the events that have unfolded in Iraq, you see a lot of middle-class, educated Iranians really disillusioned with the U.S. and no longer welcoming their interference in the Middle East. And the U.S. may have really lost an opportunity there to win some allies here. No one wants the U.S. around anymore.
So the thinking there is that maybe Kerry could bring some more, more people back to, more international.
More sanity. Bring more sanity here. Less, rule by the gun and force and framing things in as a religious war and so on. One of the really sad things that I noticed in Iraq was that people who didn't used to be religious Iraqis, didn't used to pray at all, used to drink lots of whiskey, are now praying five times a day, not drinking alcohol, going to the mosque every Friday, and you ask them why, and it's like, well, I feel like, Islam is under attack, and it's my duty to defend it. And so they're becoming, the opposite of, I think, maybe the Bush administration's plan. They're turning people more religious and more fundamentalist in the Middle East instead of less.
So they're creating a sort of environment of desperation and hopelessness and despair that leads to religious fanaticism.
Yeah, and also, the perception is that, America is attacking Islam. It's exactly what we didn't want to do
right
after September 11th. And it is not fighting terrorism. It's fighting, the Muslim world. And, people are reacting by, joining up with the Wahhabis, the extremists,
right,
in an effort to defend themselves. At least that's the perception.
Well, thank you so much, Borzer. It's always great to talk to you. Be careful.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it, Borzer.
But wow! Every time I talk to him, it's like it just blows my mind.
It's deep. I knew that there was this dynamic between Iranians and Iraqis in terms of who's Arab and who's not, and thinking themselves superior. I just wasn't sure the extent to which it had an impact on what's going on.
I had this flash when he said that a lot of people are supporting Kerry. I just had this flash of people wearing, Muslim garb and burqas with Kerry pins.
Kerry Edwards, right?
Yeah. But I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so.
But it is interesting how many of them are at the end of the rope with that, with just the way the U.S. has completely divided the world.
And really, messed up the region. The Americans have tried, Wolfowitz and that cabal have tried to impose their own regional solution on that area, and the people in the region just aren't having it,
well,
period.
Ramon just walked in with the liberal agenda. I don't know why. I guess the fax machine is broken, but here's the agenda for today. One, get ready to blame any future Mount St. Helens eruption on Bush environmental policies. Two, try to have the Bush administration label you an enemy combatant just to look cool to your friends. Three, apply for faith-based federal funds for a Wiccan preschool.
Come on.
Four, insist that no viruses be harmed in the production of flu vaccine. Wow. Five, phrase of the day, if you don't believe me, check the internet. What do we got coming up next hour there, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, you on the telephones, and who's selling arms to America's enemies? Bill Gertz of the Washington Times will spell it out for us all here on Air America Radio.
My mom to try Ovaltine. She was a diehard Hershey syrup person.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Away!
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate object noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now, knock that nest out of
the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4 foot nine, they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Neither Baghdad nor Washington seem to have a clue as what's become of equipment and materials that could be used to make nuclear weapons. Material has suddenly disappeared from Iraq. This, according to the United Nations Watchdog Agency. Satellite imagery shows that entire buildings in Iraq have been dismantled. They once housed high-precision equipment that could help a government or a terror group make nuclear bombs. That information is from the International Atomic Energy Agency, which was contained in a report to the United Nations Security Council. That's a report this morning that the coalition commanders in Afghanistan have begun playing down the importance of capturing terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden. They have been projecting earlier this year that bin Laden would be behind bars or dead before the end of this year. Deputy Commander of the American-led coalition forces in Afghanistan, Major General John Cooper, says bin Laden is no longer their focus. Cooper says the deteriorating situation in Iraq, especially the lack of security, has shifted the attention away from Afghanistan. Special task force has been deployed to go after another terrorist mastermind, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. John Kerry's campaign has accused the Bush administration of delaying major U.S. offensives in Iraq until after the November election. Campaign picked up on the information in the Los Angeles Times report, which quoted unnamed and political as well as Pentagon officials as saying major actions would be delayed to a time when political ramifications were less important. There's been not one word from the White House on the Los Angeles Times article. Retired General Tony McPeak, who is Kerry's campaign advisor, says information flies in the face of what the president had been saying all along. McPeak says the report is clear indication that the U.S. tactics, to some respects at least, were being dictated by the U.S. domestic electoral calendar. Sadr City in Iraq is the scene of disarmament programs that is apparently silencing the violence in that part of the country. Shiite fighters, following the instructions of a local cleric, are turning in their arms. The fighters are coming by the carloads with machine guns, mortars, and landmines in a bid to gain cash. Observers are calling it a sign of progress in the center of the Shiite resistance in Iraq. A lasting peace in a sprawling slum would allow U.S. and Iraq forces to focus on mounting Sunni insurgency. Loss of two more American soldiers yesterday underscored the threat that continues. They died in an attack in southern Baghdad. Another American soldier died as a result of a suicide bombing in front of a U.S. convoy in Mosul. With the election just 21 days away, both leading candidates are turning up the heat in their respective campaigns. They're going to every undecided vote. John Kerry expanded the slight lead over President Bush, according to the latest Reuters Zogby poll. The poll was released yesterday. It was welcome news for the Kerry camp as he prepares for his next and final debate with the president in Arizona tomorrow night. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Honey, Sirius, you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Love you, Greg Brady.
This is Earth and Sky. A listener writes, I've heard that people who are shipwrecked shouldn't drink seawater. Why? I thought the human body had about the same percentage of salt as the sea.
Actually, the concentration of salt in the human body is about a quarter to a third of what's in seawater. Drinking a lot of seawater will raise the concentration of salt in your blood. It can make you more dehydrated than drinking nothing at all.
Let's say you go down to the beach, fill up a big glass with seawater, and drink it down. The salty water goes into your stomach, then it enters your bloodstream and increases the salt concentration in your blood. The job of your kidneys is to filter your blood to get rid of toxins and waste, including too much salt, and to expel it through your urine.
But human kidneys have to excrete a certain amount of water when they expel wastes. That's why you can end up more dehydrated if you drink seawater. Your kidneys have to get rid of that extra load of salt, and that takes extra water. The dehydration can lead to seizures or brain damage, and your overworked kidneys could fail.
So if you're stranded at sea, it's better to hope for rain than to drink seawater or catch a fish and eat it. That'll give you a less salty source of fluids. That's our show for today. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
For free confidential small business...
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. How are you? Nice to see you, man, children, women, girls. You know, all you people, communists, Marin haters, Marin lovers, Riley lovers. I don't even say Riley haters because there aren't.
Oh, any. There are some. Trust
there
me.
Are none.
Yes, yes. I am a tool of the white man.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. That was
I had nothing to do with that. You're only going to get me in deeper water with that person who wrote me the letter, called me a man diva. Sure, it's a little music. I did that. I did that with my mind.
That was great.
Isn't that amazing?
Ramon taught you that.
Yeah, well, there's always a party going on in my head. And that was a little piece of it.
That was
just a delet burp. The computer system here sometimes just belches. But, you know, dude, we were talking. Oh, I was in Union Square yesterday buying apples
at
the farmer's market. And, you know, whenever Carrie... People who are trying to get people to give money to the Democratic National Committee for whatever reason, they come up to me and I always say, you know, first of all, I already donate to the Democratic National Committee. And on the second level, I think because I do this show, I am justified.
You should get some style points.
Exactly. Don't you feel that?
Absolutely. So what I tell people when they ask me.
So this dude comes up to me, and of course I'm like, no, I'm doing enough, really. I have my button. I'm like, and he's like, yeah, but you can always do more. Do you know that we're trying to pick up voters with buses? I'm like, yeah, I give to the Democratic National Committee. It's like, yeah, but you don't necessarily give to what we're doing here. We're looking to put money into actually picking up registered voters and bringing them to the polls. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm doing enough. I talk about this on the radio all the time. He's like, yeah, but you don't understand. We need more money to get people. I'm like, dude. Yeah, and then the other guy steps in. He's like, really, what radio station? I'm like, I'm on a morning show on Air America. Really, Air America? Huh. So where's that? It's like, it's here in New York. The 11-9. He's like, oh, that's great, man. It's good. Well, thanks for helping out. But, you know, we're trying to get these buses. I'm like, hey, I give money. I'm on the radio talking about it. You know, I can't give you money right now. And the guy just like, every time I said that, he's like, but let me explain this to you. And I'm like, dude.
Dude. All you have to say is one simple phrase. I gave at the office because you do.
Yeah, but see, then I walk in because I think there's just the outside chance that they might go, oh, morning sedition.
You use the F word.
I'm hanging in for the whole pitch. You know what I mean?
You didn't use the F word.
Which one?
Franken.
I did not.
You used Franken. Oh,
Al Franken. Sure, let me give you money. There you go. Here's some money that was given to us.
Yeah, right.
And then I went to where I work out, you know, which is also an acupuncture sort of holistic sort of health joint on some level, you know.
Is that what they call it, the holistic health joint? That'd be a great name.
Bring your mat
right
to the holistic health joint. Well, I'm exhausted yesterday because I was half jet lagged. I've been back and forth over the weekend, just like wiped out. You know how you get when, you're on the schedule. And I'm sitting there in the back, and the cat who works there, Kurt, who's a nice guy, he's a sweet guy, I'm just wiped out. And I said, the hours are, you know, killing me sometimes. I flew back to L.A. I'm up all night. He goes, have you tried bee pollen? And I'm like,
no.
Really, do you think that's going to work? Because like, I'm jaded, you know, because I know what it's like to sit over an eight ball and take some time to get some conversation going.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just be up for 3 days. You know, so, you know, any stretch of the, it's sort of like the jump from like, you know, knowing what the power of Western medicine, even street Western medicine, to alleviate, you know, energy depletion. You know, the idea of bee pollen is just sort of like, really? Do you really think that's going to do? But he, again, because I was in that vulnerable, weird, fragile state, I hadn't taken a couple of hits from people emailing me through my website. I hadn't even been depleted that much, but I was already tired. I'd already been through the whole sort of give money to carry ordeal. I was vulnerable. And I really, there was that moment where I'm like, how much is it? He's like, well, for this little thing, which
$50.
Is more. Like 8 ounces, like $125. And
oh,
then I'm like,
right.
He's like, but you got to be careful with it. You can only, if you take more than a spoonful a day. I took a spoonful a day for 3 days, and I was up for 2 days, and my sex drive was out of the roof. And I'm like, really? From bee goop? You know, like, I didn't say that, but I'm like, could that possibly be happening? Because I'm a sucker, man. I'm a sucker in my head. I'm like, could that really do that?
Look, here's the problem. It's not just about being up. Working this schedule is about knowing when you can be up and when you can crash. You want to be able to crash when you feel like it, and you want to be able to get up without feeling that, like, every morning you just flew from Los Angeles to New York.
Oh, man, yesterday I was so racked. You know, I get home, I want to cook myself some dinner. You were telling me your wife cooked you some nice fish.
Oh, yeah.
Greens,
yeah,
stuff.
She hooked me up.
I love eating fish and greens, but I just didn't have the energy. The thought of cooking after I managed the cat situation and got everything cleaned up in there, and I was just sort of like, I got to do it. I cooked myself a healthy dinner. And I went into the vegetable stand, and all I could really muster the energy to do was buy a little thing of Brussels sprouts. I just couldn't
bring yourself to cook them.
I couldn't cook them. I couldn't buy the fish. So I just walked in. I just look at this little thing of Brussels sprouts. I'm like, man, it's over. What has it come to? Just sitting there like this, completely drained over a little thing of Brussels sprouts.
Do they still sell the organic meat and stuff, the free-range chicken and stuff at the green market down there?
Sure. You can get it's really good. You can get chicken breast for $7.
Oh, for one breast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can get that in the Blue Water Grill over there.
Yeah.
At the restaurant across the street.
It's a little pricey. Every once in a while, I get to smoke turkey legs.
Oh yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't eat them, but I know a lot of people who love them.
Whoa. You do eat them.
No, man. I don't eat dark meat turkey. I don't eat dark meat chicken. I don't eat anything with all that iron in it.
Dude, we were at Uncle What's-His-Name.
And Mr. Charlie's.
Mr. Charlie's.
I didn't eat no legs, man. That was Pashman. Ate every leg that was in the place.
Whoa, but didn't you eat some greens?
I ate greens,
all
yeah.
Right, but didn't you tell me that they were done with turkey, not ham?
Yeah, but I take the turkey out. I don't keep the turkey in.
But what about the juice?
I'm not worried about dark meat turkey juice. I'm just, I don't want to eat the meat.
Okay.
I don't eat the meat.
All right. I'm not trying to, you know, call you on anything. But
it seems
like there's a weird gray area there.
No. There's a gray. My wife does the same thing with me with onions. But the fact is, because I say I hate onions and then I'll eat spaghetti sauce with onions in it. And she's like, oh, you don't really hate onions. Look, you ate them. Then shut up.
Okay. But it's not like eating an onion.
No.
Exactly.
No, not in this life or the next.
Did you know onions can actually kill cats? Did you
really?
Know that? Yeah, apparently if you got to be careful not to give cat onions.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's
so if you're cooking for your cat, garlic.
Easy, garlic's all right.
I don't know. It's one of those things. I just read it. You know, what do I know about it?
Well.
Let's get to more important issues about the nuisance of
terrorism. The nuisance. John Kerry, the nuisance man. Bush is trying to stick him with a wholly undeserved rap, as far as I'm concerned.
Should I read the paragraph?
Yeah, read the paragraph. So people know what the man actually said, as opposed to what George Bush says he said.
This was from a New York Times Magazine piece on last Sunday by Matt Bai, called Kerry's Undeclared War. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read the paragraph with his quotes. When I asked Kerry what it would take for Americans to feel safe again, he displayed a much less apocalyptic worldview. Quote, we have to get back to the place where we were.
place we were, where terrorists are not the focus of our lives, but they're a nuisance, end quote. Kerry said, quote, as a former law enforcement person, I know we're never going to end prostitution. We're never going to end illegal gambling, but we're going to reduce it, organized crime, to a level where it isn't on the rise. It isn't threatening people's lives every day, and fundamentally, it's something that you continue to fight, but it's not threatening the fabric of your life, end quote. Now, to the Bush administration, they seize this nuisance thing because what Kerry is being is practical, and he's trying to engage in an international vision of global policing that would engage other countries to treat terrorist cells as a police problem, because non-state-sponsored terrorism, theoretically, is a police problem.
Yep.
Because you can't just, like, but the Bush neocon sort of post-Cold War think tank that decided on Iran said, let's connect it to a state, even if that connection doesn't exist, which it doesn't, so we can attack a country for our own ends and now create more problems within the world of terrorism.
And see, one of the things that John Kerry did, and this is pointed out in Matthew Bayh's article, is, and this has been throughout his Senate career, he has tried with varying degrees of success to disrupt the money laundering, the easy shifting of funds from bank to bank, that is a hallmark of terrorism. Terrorists can't function without money.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't function without arms, and they can't function without money. They can't buy the arms without money. How do they get the money? Kerry has, throughout his Senate career, tried to disrupt those systems that have been in place in some cases for a generation,
yeah,
where people are able to easily procure the money through fundraising and other means, and then go out and deal with these illicit arms dealers. And later this morning, we're going to be talking with Bill Gertz from the Washington Times about exactly who's selling arms to the insurgents. But Kerry has made, throughout his Senate career, a hallmark of trying to disrupt that part of the operation. And I may be wrong about this, but I very rarely hear the Bush people talking about being successful at disrupting those same networks.
Well, the Bush people, see, the thing, the reason, and we're going to talk about it a little more when we get back, and also I want to bring up the, we've got a lot of presidential endorsements from newspapers. I wanted to share those and some other little tip, you know, little things. But what I wanted to say is that they use fear. The Bush administration, in collusion with the terrorists, you know, exploit the fear of Americans. They like to pimp slap the American people with the orange terror threat whenever they feel like their polls are sagging, or re-engage in the fear. They've created a culture in some parts of America. They're trying to make this country, you know, have the same symptoms of spousal abuse. That, you know, they know that they're beaten around. They know that they live in a climate of you know, total chronic fear, but the only person they can seek to get them out of it is the same person that's abusing their brains.
Yes.
And I think that's their sort of campaign plan. But we will talk when we come back about newspaper presidential endorsements, about dates for registration, and about some dates for me, and about, you know, many things. It's 17 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Who's in your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back, and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-662-8168 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-662-8168. That's 800-662-8168. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-662-8168.
For just 45 cents. Rolling Stone and college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, and Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the music box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laurie Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazard Fire, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock of the
is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season too. day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I had this great DJ spinning. He's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up, and I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling, too. Friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. Then she starts convulsing, and call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we were all...
Ecstasy. It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
When they say that they are the most trusted name in news, between Fox, MSNBC, yes, but Air America Radio is the most trusted name in news.
866-303-AAR0.
This is communist stuff. This is not my country. This stuff. I came to this country to have freedom. I didn't come here to be ruled by a bunch of yahoos that do not give a damn about human rights.
We're listening.
Are you a...
Good morning. It's 22 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're
good
listening.
Morning. Oh, sorry.
No. Say it again.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning's edition on Air America Radio. I am the man diva. Kalo on the board, working his butt off today.
Yeah, really.
So let me just run by a couple of dates. Okay, first of all, voter registration deadlines in swing states. Today, October 12th, Nevada and Oregon. Tomorrow, October 13th, West Virginia. October 20th, Wisconsin. October 23rd, Iowa, New Hampshire. November 2nd. Maine, which means you can vote. You can go vote there on Election Day because that is Election Day.
You can register and vote on Election Day.
Yeah, you can get both at the same time. I am still waiting for my absentee ballot from Los Angeles. I don't know what the story with that is.
Arnold's holding it.
Yeah, someone's holding it. The same guys that are holding my marriage certificate must be holding it. I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut in
Uncasville.
It's an Indian casino up there. It's quite a place. It's a casino with a Ben and Jerry's. So while you're busy, you know, losing your mortgage, the kids can enjoy a Sunday.
By the way, you know, Oregon, up there were our good friends in Portland. Today is their last day.
Okay.
And that is a key state. So people in Portland, if you know people that aren't registered, call them. Reach out to them. Get in contact with them. Get them to the Board of Elections or wherever they have to go to register to vote, because every vote in places like Oregon, places like Nevada, places like New Hampshire, every vote counts.
Yeah, and absolutely, and I'm sure that they're reading about that in the Portland Oregonian, which
yes.
endorses Kerry, along with many other papers I'll cover in a minute. But first, I'd like to do my dream diary because I go to the therapist on Thursday. This goes out to Vista. I'm walking around the rim of Mount St. Helens barefoot, and it's smoldering and spewing jets of steam, but for some reason, the hot rocks don't burn my feet. To me, it feels like wet tiles. Suddenly, a voice calls to me from inside the volcano. A little man dressed in an orange raincoat, firefighter boots, and a charred helmet climbs out of the volcano and walks toward me. He flips up the mask. It's Robert Reich. I say, Robert, what does all this mean? Robert Reich coughs out a puff of smoke and says, Mark, the latest figures are pathetic. This volcano is about to blow because the lava is being agitated by bad feelings. I just blink at him. God, he's smart. He says, hostility, Mark, ill will toward our public officials and each other. This would never have happened during the Clinton administration. 22 million new jobs created. Don't get me started. I say, so this is like the slime in Ghostbusters 2. Reich says, yes, but much more dangerous and without all the jokes pandering to kids. I say, so if we could all learn to reverse our hostility toward each other, our good feelings will keep it from blowing? Reich says, that theory. Personally, I'm skeptical. Everyone I know has been pretty pissed lately. Why aren't your feet burning? Just then, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld show up on the side of the mountain next to me in the black SUVs. Cheney starts chewing on a glowing rock and says to me, endless war, endless profits, and we're taking it from you. And Bush smirks at me and says, I got this election all sewed up. Jed's got it fixed again. And then Rumsfeld says, why aren't your feet burning? I clench my fist and focus all my rage. Douchebags! And underneath me, the awesome force of Mount St. Helens was summoned by my powerful negativity and rumbled and caught fire, and the earth split open and buried Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld under a scorching blanket of red-hot magma. Their hideous screams were silenced by a wall of ash. I emerged without a scratch, though I could use a sandwich or something. I went home and stretched out on the couch when both my feet burst into flames. I woke up and my bed was filled with Douglas firs. Big trees to be in your bed.
And you want an absentee ballot, huh?
Big trees.
You want to vote in this election after having a dream like that.
Yeah, where is my absentee ballot?
I don't know.
Ballot?
That's absentee valet.
Where's my absentee valet? I need somebody to go vote for me. Where is the man who's supposed to go vote for me?
They do that, you know, here in New York, folks. I don't know, you know, how things are in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But here in New York, you actually can pay people to stand in line for you. You know, like you go to motor vehicles or whatever, they have actual businesses where they send people to stand in line and wait for you.
That's wild. They used to people used to be able to hire people to go fight for them in the Civil War. Here we go. Newspaper presidential endorsements. The Portland Oregonian endorses Kerry, as I said before.
Yeah.
The Seattle Times endorses Kerry.
Both endorsed Bush 4 years ago.
That's beautiful that they turned around.
Yes.
The Seattle Times, to sum it up, says, a less belligerent, more intelligent foreign policy should cause less anger to be directed at the United States. Very nice. Atlanta Journal-Constitution endorses Kerry. St. Louis Post-Dispatch endorses Kerry. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer endorses Kerry. Detroit Free Press, the Philadelphia Daily News, Philadelphia Inquirer, Arizona Daily Star, Tucson. That's in parentheses. That would be Tucson. Because Tucson's hip. The Day in New London, Connecticut, endorsed Bush in 2000, now endorses Kerry. The Philadelphia Daily News, Portland Press Herald, that's in Maine. And the Lone Star Iconoclast, which I think is still in business in Crawford, Texas. Total pro-carry daily circulation, 2,500,347. Wait, let me try that again. 2,534,377.
Yeah, and the 377 is the Lone Star Iconoclast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have a really small circulation. By contrast, the numbers of papers endorsing Bush, their daily circulation totals 637,187.
Looking good. And the polls are looking good today for you poll junkies. I'm, of course, detached from the polls, but we're winning in one of them, and it's a big one.
Yeah, and it's. I think it's going to continue on right in that vein. Coming up! Iraq, Birth of a Nation, You on the Telephones, and The Liberal Confessional, all for you on Air America Radio.
Legal FunnyTees.net, the website where you'll find the T-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
This is Earth and Sky. Jeffrey Polavina is a marine ecologist at the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center in Hawaii.
He tags sea animals to learn where they go, where they feed, and where they mate. The tags relay the data to scientists via a system of satellites.
Tags have revealed that loggerhead turtles travel back and forth across the Pacific Ocean along a trans-Pacific turtle highway. Polavina told us that turtles seem to congregate midway through their migration at a mid-ocean hotspot just west of the international dateline.
It's just amazing that these loggerhead turtles, and I think many of the other turtles as well that we track, really seem to have a map of the ocean. We'll see them go into eddies, which are underwater cyclones, and they'll ride around the edges of these eddies for months at a time. These are big features. They'll get off exactly where they got on. They'll go through currents that move them north or south or east or west, but then they'll readjust their position.
Since the animals obviously know where important feeding and breeding places are, Polavina says scientists are thinking about using the animals to gather data that's typically collected by floating research instruments. He calls it biologging, relying on fleets of animals instead of ocean-going research vessels.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
What's up, y'all? This Jay Bug.
Yo, yo, this Raz B.
Yo, what's up? This Lil Fizz.
Yo, what up, Omarion?
And we're B2K.
Right now, we working in the studio.
And that's a lot of work. When we go on tour, we perform live.
We have to know our dance routines, words to the songs, music.
And we have to be on point every time. Our music is pretty energetic.
I mean, it's a real hard job.
We can't look sloppy on stage. That's why we don't have time for drugs.
You want to get somewhere? Forget about drugs.
A message from Partnership for a Drug-Free America and MAP.
Visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Earth Weather Map shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
Crazy. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley there.
Hi.
Morning's edition. All around.
We'll be talking to Bill Gertz in a minute.
Right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 105. Leaders of Iraq. Just one of you? There's the entire interim government. A U.N. nuclear watchdog agency tells us that equipment and materials that could be used to make nuclear weapons are disappearing from Iraq. Of course, we usually ignore the U.N., but satellite imagery shows that entire buildings in Iraq have been dismantled. Entire buildings. Come on, guys! Now, this may be partly our fault. We've just let you steal things, which is fine if it was office equipment or a toaster or a 6,000-year-old Sumerian vase from the museum. But nuclear material, that looks bad, especially during the election season. Bush's rationale for going into Iraq, perhaps I should say his rationale this week, is to keep nuclear material out of the hands of terrorists. The fact that you people are just walking away with this stuff like they were CDs from Sam Goody is more than a little embarrassing, I gotta tell you. Yes, I'm guessing most of you don't even know what you have, especially when I checked eBay and found a pound of yellow cake for $3.50. What is that? No, I'm not angry. I'm just going to turn around and count to three, and when I turn around again, I want that stuff to be returned. There'll be no questions, no blame. All right, I'm turning around. One, two, three. All right, now there's going to be questions. Now there's going to be blame. Okay, who took my laptop? Who took my laptop? I needed that. All right, damn it. Well, good luck and God bless. This is day 105 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Our guest is the author of a new book called Treachery, How America's Friends and Foes Are Secretly Arming Our Enemies, and Breakdown, How America's Intelligence Failures Led to September 11th. He's a defense and national security reporter for the Washington Times. He's joining us by phone. Good morning, Bill Gertz. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So how did our allies like France and China and Russia start supplying arms to Iraq?
Well, this is a good story that's even now beginning to unfold even further than I have revealed it in the book. Just recently, the Iraq Survey Group report confirmed a lot that I had about how Saddam had bribed countries like France, Russia, China to help lift sanctions against, UN sanctions against his regime. Basically, it's a story about arms proliferation and how these countries, not just for greed or economic benefit, but also as part of a bigger strategy of trying to undermine the United States, were selling arms and other weaponry to our enemies.
But isn't it my understanding that, you know, if these are arms dealers, there's certainly a black market within Iraq that deals in these things, and that it's not necessarily a nation-specific thing other than the manufacturing of these arms, and also that some American companies did business with Iraq, you know, through, like, French subsidiaries during these times of sanctions?
Yeah, there were a few American companies, but for the most part, they were prosecuted and are being prosecuted. But in these other countries, their defense industries are so closely linked to their governments that it couldn't be possible. They couldn't possibly have exported the amount of weapons involved here without the government at least knowing about it. Or if they didn't know about it, then they have a bigger problem of arms export controls.
So what's the U.S. doing about it now?
Well, not a whole lot, unfortunately. They have begun something called the Proliferation Security Initiative, but it's really not working. You know, I interviewed Defense Secretary John Rumsfeld for the book, and he said unless more cooperation among nations is carried out, that we could have another five nuclear powers within the next decade, which is not a sobering thought. Also, these nations could be nations that support terrorism, and that's a big fear, that some of these weapons, weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, or nuclear, could fall into the hands of terrorist groups.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gertz, you mentioned earlier that some of these governments, which are generally aligned with the United States, are trying to undermine our government. Why?
Well, there's this concept in foreign affairs known as multipolarity. That is, the idea that there's a sole superpower right now, which is the United States, is not something they like. In fact, they believe that it's more stable if there are many centers of power in the world, and they're actively working against the United States to try and create, in their mind, some kind of balance of power. To me, it's kind of a Cold War concept. The fact of the matter is, we are the sole superpower, and I'm much happier that we are instead of, say, Russia or China.
Is there any connection with this, what you're talking about? Because there seems like there, you know, there's sort of like a subterranean, you know, kind of war going on in the economic world. That, you know, some people speculate that one of the reasons that America went into Iraq was because Iraq was starting to process their money through euros as opposed to American dollars. Does this play into that at all?
Well, I didn't come upon that. It's basically there's a whole network of arms dealers who really don't care who gets their weaponry.
Right.
And, I think that's really the big problem. It's kind of an irresponsible arms control policy. They don't have the policies in place. The other problem is, too, that since the end of the Cold War, we've lost an international mechanism that was designed to try and keep weapons and weapons technology. It's not just the arms themselves, it's the ability to make those arms out of the hands of our enemies, because there was no clear definition. Today we have the International State Sponsors of Terrorism list, but other countries don't agree with us. They don't think it's, like Russia, for example, doesn't think it's a bad idea to sell nuclear technology to Iran. And as I uncovered in the book, the Iranians have a dual-track program. They have a denial and deception committee that's out there saying we don't want nuclear weapons, and then secretly behind the scenes they have a dozen or so secret nuclear facilities in the country, and they're actively working to make not just nuclear weapons but a nuclear warhead, which is the ultimate objective, the ability to put a nuclear device on a missile.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill Gertz, a lot of the documents that you cite in your book are CIA reproductions, and in some cases they're interpretations of CIA reproductions, and sometimes those interpretations can be a little bit faulty. Are you comfortable with the reliability of all those documents, those reproduced documents?
Yes. You know, where other people are concerned about the veracity of the documents they have, in my case, I've got very, very sensitive intelligence information. You know, in the newspaper business, we say you're only as good as your sources, and I've been very, very lucky to have excellent sources, including some that have provided me actual documents. And but I was fairly careful with these documents. My concern was that I could undermine national security by publishing this, and I cleared some of the documents, not the book, but some of the documents that I put in the appendix, really to kind of bolster my case, to say, look, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. You can look for yourself. You can see these documents. And they asked me to withhold some of that information, which I did.
Who's they?
The U.S. government.
Well, I have to assume that, you know, they obviously, if the CIA, you know, somehow you got the documents, that the government had gotten the documents. And now there's, you know, we've talked to CIA guys here on our show many times. There's a real sort of friction at this point in time between the intelligence community and this administration. So do you think that this is part of that?
Well, you know, I mean, lots of information comes out whenever there's a debate, you know, in government about certain things. I think the Iraq war has triggered that. So you're right now, one of the big things that's coming out is who failed on the post-major conflict insurgency. Was it the CIA that failed to identify what was going to happen after the troops went in, or was it the Pentagon that didn't plan or didn't understand the nature of the insurgency? So you're seeing information come out from both places to try and bolster their position. The CIA recently leaked something to the New York Times which said, yeah, look, we understood there was going to be an insurgency. What they didn't tell you in that report is that there were probably five or six options that the CIA predicted would happen after major combat ended.
So our last question here is Bill Gertz, is what is the U.S. doing about this now?
Well, I can say they've got something going on called the Proliferation Security Initiative. It's diplomatic in the one sense. They have a number of nations that are trying to figure out ways to interdict or stop arms shipments on the high seas. but really I think we need to do much more. In my book, I have like a concluding chapter which talks about setting up a special forces troops that would be called into action if we really find out that a nuclear device or some triggers for a nuclear device are being transported from one state to a rogue state. And I think that would be a more effective way to go about it.
All right, so do you think that you're in hot water over at the Washington Times for being on Air America, Bill?
No, hey,
you know. There
you go. All right, thanks for being with us, Bill Gertz.
Sure. Thanks, Bill.
Author of Treachery, How America's Friends and Foes Are Secretly Arming Our Enemies. It's funny, those covers of books written by guys who, you know, primarily seem to be affiliated with the right. They, like, the book is a factual book, but it has the cover of a spy, not like a like an international intrigue novel.
And you notice they always have one big title and then a subtitle that runs like five lines.
And then, like, some sort of cryptic drawing behind the heading, you know. And when people from the left write these books, they always look like, you know, very profound texts.
Yes.
You know, with pictures and information. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. Tell us where you're at, what's on your mind, any reaction to what we're talking about. If you just want to share something, we'll talk to you in a minute. 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, yeah. Yippee! I'll go on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
I love you, Greg Brady.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving.
Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Sirius Satellite Radio and Headcount urge you to make a difference. This year, it's more important than ever to wave that flag and let your voice be heard. If you're not registered, go to headcount.org, get serious, and vote.
Hi, I'm Bobby Orr with the Dead.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, this is Trey Anastasio reminding you that this year, it's more important than ever to get out and vote.
To register, go to www.headcount.org. This November, show up and vote.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Past the hour, it's Mark the Man Diva Marin here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. You know, sometimes. What's going on? Can you hear me? Am I coming through? We all right?
We fading to black here? No, I can hear. No, it'll be all right. We're having what you would call a bad tech day, if it was in hair context. And Kalo, who is the most resourceful human being I've met in a number of years, probably in the 20th century, is hooking us up as we speak.
Hi, buddy.
That's all right. Ooh, made my head hurt, but that's okay. And I think we are going to be...
I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
Here I am. Wow. That was scary. As some people will know, like, you know, when I stop hearing myself talk, wow, where am I? You know, Riley.
I know.
That's going to make one person laugh really hard this morning. And I'm not even going to go any further than that. Sometimes it's not easy being a liberal, my friend. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning Sedition Confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Well, it's the same old dilemma, the eternal conflict between our natural ecosystem and pastrami.
So, my friend, it sounds like you're suffering from a malady not uncommon in liberal carnivores, bleeding heartburn.
Yes, that's it. I know that meat is murder, but when an organization like PETA comes out against murder, doesn't it make you rethink the whole idea of homicide and wonder if maybe it doesn't have some virtues? And how am I supposed to achieve righteous indigestion? Do you understand? Only eat free-range chicken, regardless of whether it's original or crispy. Only eat Peking duck that was killed while protesting in Tiananmen Square. I mean, I can stop eating meat altogether and only eat tofu and vegetables, but then I'd have to kill myself. And suicide is also a form of murder. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
It seems to me, young man, like you have ordered a large side order of rationalizations with your meat.
All right. But what about people like Jim Earl, one of our writers who a lot of people know, who considers Jimmy Dean the most heinous mass murderer of the 20th century? With vegetotalitarians like him around, who can blame me for holding all my MoveOn.org meetups at Sizzler?
My son, there are health benefits to eating meat, but don't forget, compassion is also an excellent source of protein. I would say this to the shrill vegetarians who are on your case. Judge not, lest ye be judged. But I would say this to you. Eat not, lest ye be eaten.
Well, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
It is merely meant as food for thought, my son. Now go forth and sin no more.
Amen. Wow, man, now I'm confused.
Hey.
Here we go. Ron, New Jersey. How are you, Ron?
What's up, Ron?
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Nice to talk to you.
I have a story to relay to you and a question at the end. I bought 1,000 Kerry bumper stickers on my own, and as a way to help out the campaign, I've been handing them out for free. And I've been going to a rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike to do that because I figured I can get as many people as possible from different states. And I also went to a local mall, and I never had a problem, but over the last couple of days, mall security told me I couldn't do that. And the state police officer this past weekend also told me that I had to leave, that I couldn't do that. And I didn't know if you guys knew if that was if they had any right to do that, because I listened to them and laughed. I didn't want to get arrested, but it seemed like if I was handing them out for free and wasn't charging people anything, I don't understand why I couldn't be there.
I don't know. I guess if the mall's private property, they might be able to tell whoever they want to leave, but that seems a little conspiratorial to me.
It's a little draconian, and I'm not sure if this wasn't settled at least on a local level, at least in New York State, by a case that was brought by the Hare Krishna some years ago. I think that you do have the right to exercise a First Amendment right even on mall property, certainly on the rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike, which is paid for by taxpayers.
Wow. So what do you think of that, Ron? You want to take some action around that? You want to call your congressman and find out what the deal with that is?
Yeah, you might want to do that.
That's not a bad idea. I was wondering who I can call, and I figure if I call a lawyer, he's going to charge me. But, yeah, I should call a local congressman.
Congressman, assemblyman, say that. What part of Jersey you live in? North?
No, South Jersey.
Oh, South Jersey.
Yeah, I'm just outside of Philly, a few miles outside.
Uh-oh, now, you know, they got a big state police barracks down there by one of the rest stops. Maybe that's why they've gotten your case.
Yeah, maybe they were just bored.
Yeah.
I think a Republican complaint, to be honest with you. Because
what's the matter, state cops? You ran out of black guys to profile down there?
Yeah.
Far be it from a Republican to complain. It's weird. They always call us the whiners, but I've never seen a bigger bunch of babies than those guys. I would do it because I think that's what your local government is there for. I think it's a good question, and you should engage them. Usually they're just sitting around wondering how to get themselves reelected. This might be actually giving them something to do, Ron.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling. That'd be interesting. May Ron, if you're still listening, check back in with us if you get any response. We're kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
James in California, what's up?
Hey, James.
Hey, guys, the Mark Squared. I love the show. You guys have been on locally here in San Francisco. It's taken way too long the last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
I love the Dream Journal. It just blows me away every time I hear it. I want to say something. You know, it seems like it's been building for a while, this whole bogus notion that Kerry is part of the communist thing. You know, you read these really crazy things on the Internet or hear people call the right insanos. Every time Kerry puts his hand in the air, you know, that's the old communist salute. I want to know, as soon as they realize that the jig really is up and they're going to be kicked out of office, what are they going to try and do? Connect Kerry to NAMBLA?
That may be next. See, what's really strange about that is, remember that Kerry served in Vietnam fighting communism. Hello? He was fighting the North Vietnamese, a communist regime. How can you say that he is, in fact, in any way, shape, or form a communist when he risked his life and is still carrying shrapnel from fighting communism?
It's like a retro button. You know what I mean? It's like the communist thing is anytime anybody talks about creating a health care for everyone, immediately the right starts calling them socialists or communists. It's an old, weird button that they push because they think that the idea of everybody having a affordable health care or health care provided for them in an emergency is somehow like, you know, anti-democracy.
Well, exactly. You know, and it's the scare tactic. It's the boogeyman word, socialism, communism. Here's the other thing, too. The story you two were talking about earlier about the news about things that probably were safe when Saddam Hussein was still in power are now missing. I mean, the chains on the locks on the fences came down, and now we're missing a bunch of nuclear devices or things that could be made to build nukes.
Yeah.
Kerry jumps all over that tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know if he's going to be able. Thanks for your call, James. I don't know if they're going to be able to reshift the conversation from domestic to international issues. I'm sure they'll figure out a way. But certainly, whether or not Saddam Hussein was, you know, had those secured or not, the truth of the matter is that should have been the first priority, is to secure that stuff, especially if they were supposedly, you know, fighting terrorism and not just doing a free for all, you know, power grab on Iraq.
Well, the other thing is they should have learned the lesson from the demise of the Soviet Union. In Russia, they were selling submarines with or without rockets.
I got one.
Yeah, I mean, in the next hour of Morning Sedition, Arizona congressional candidate Paul Babbitt joins us. You on the telephones, the presidential daily briefing, and who are the papers across America endorsing, we'll tell you. Coming up on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
It's serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. From all indications, John Kerry appears to own his current lead in voter popularity over George W. Bush in the latest CNN USA Today Gallup poll, with just 21 days before the election. Poll was conducted this past weekend showing 49% of the likely voters preferring Kerry over Bush, who had a 48% lead at one time. The margin of error was plus or minus 3 percentage points. Similar poll released by CBS News this morning shows the race still very tight, with Bush in the lead. Despite the latest findings, Bush's support as president remains below the 50% threshold, with just 47% of those polled noting approval of the way he is handling his job. 49% say they disapprove. More bad news for the Bush White House. A report says a powerful old guard faction in the Central Intelligence Agency has launched an unprecedented campaign to undermine the Bush administration with a battery of damaging leaks and briefings about Iraq. White House is said to be particularly incensed about the public sniping from some senior intelligence officers who it believes are conducting a partisan operation to swing the November election to favor John Kerry. A conservative security analyst, John Roberts, says bluntly that when the president cannot trust his own CIA, the nation faces dire consequences. John Kerry, like the incumbent, remains in the attack mode yesterday, charging the president with favoring friends in the oil industry over consumers strapped with rising fuel bills. Kerry added that Bush's gross mismanagement of the war in Iraq has led in part to rising gasoline prices, and said the former Texas oilman warmed the hearts of his powerful friends with a $15 billion tax break. Kerry told the New Mexico campaign staff that Bush has chosen a powerful and well-connected over the nation's middle class. Kerry charges that when it comes to developing a real energy policy, Bush has run out of gas. Kerry cited last week's record high price increase of gasoline at $53 a barrel as one big reason why the president has mismanaged the war in Iraq. And it finally happened. Crude oil prices hit $54 per barrel, which had been fueled by continuing worries over oil supplies in Nigeria and a reduction in output in the hurricane-hit Gulf of Mexico. That word coming this morning. One in every 5 U.S. jobs pays less than a poverty-level wage for a family of 4, according to a study by the nonpartisan Working Poor Families Project. The result of so many low-paying jobs is that nearly 39 million Americans, including 20 million children, are members of the low-income working families with barely enough money to cover basic needs like housing, groceries, and child care. This, according to that study. The study classified a working family as one in which there was one or more children and at least one family member had a job or was actively seeking work. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning.
Rolling Stone in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the G's at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Max Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Patrick Savage, Hazard Cryer, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock of the
I'm Deborah Byrd.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, Monday, October 11th. The biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. 11 planet Earths could fit side by side in front of it. Jupiter orbits the Sun about 5 times farther away than Earth does. It takes 12 years to complete a single orbit around the Sun.
Earth flies around the sun once every year, so it's mostly our motion in orbit that determines where we see Jupiter in the night sky. As seen from all across Earth, the planet was up in the west after sunset until about mid-August this year. Then Earth's faster motion in orbit placed the sun between us and Jupiter, and we couldn't see Jupiter at all for a couple of months.
Now Jupiter is returning to our sky again. Our vantage point on it has shifted, so we see Jupiter now in the east before dawn. It's low in the sky. So you need a very clear eastern horizon to see Jupiter. And don't mistake Jupiter for another bright planet up before the sun. The planet that's very bright and relatively high in the east before sunup is Venus.
Jupiter will be near the waning crescent moon tomorrow morning. If you can't see the pair shortly before sunup, try scanning in the east with binoculars. In the coming weeks, Jupiter will be getting higher in the east before dawn. It'll be near Venus by the end of this month.
Special thanks today to Research Corporation, a foundation for the advancement of science. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, narcissists of all races. Good morning to you. Good morning, progressive utopians, narrow-minded liberal fascists who have no sense of humor and insist on being nitpicky about everything with their salon boutique issues. How about that one? And good morning to fans of the show. Good morning to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning to you, Mark Maron. Am I a fan of the show? I guess so.
Sure you are. I would hope that we're both fans of the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, good. I listen occasionally.
Every
I'm listening
then.
Right now, live. Right,
I listen on Saturday morning sometimes. I can't figure out which one's me and which one's you.
Are you serious?
Sometimes.
Come on. That's
sometimes.
That is a compliment, my friend. That is a compliment, my friend. I really appreciate that. Let's get some business out of the way here.
First of all,
what do we got? Okay. Voter registration deadlines in swing states. Important. Today, Nevada and Oregon. These are today's your deadline. So get out there and do it. I've said myself, I'll get to it. I'll do it tomorrow. It's time for you, Oregon and Nevada. Get out there and register. October 13th, West Virginia. October 20th, Wisconsin. October 23rd, Iowa, New Hampshire. Please, get out there and register and go out and vote. It's important. It's important this time. Don't listen to Trey Parker and Matt Stone who say, if you don't know the issues, you don't have any right to vote. Go vote, even if it's on your gut instinct. And if you don't know, let me tell you what you should do. Vote Kerry. If you don't have any idea what to vote for, what the issues are, why not just pull the lever for fun and just all Democrat? Why not? Not so much that, it's not a matter about what you believe in. It's a matter of the good guys winning.
There you go.
is that wrong of me to say?
No!
I don't think so. Here's some good news for poll junkies. And as you know, I've had to detach from the poll and from the blog and from the emails. I've had to detach completely from all things because I can't, I am too vulnerable, hypersensitive, narcissistic, and self-centered. Everything is a part of me. So if one part of me is resistant or negative, I feel polluted to the core. So here's some good news for me. Kerry is a ahead in a 47-44% lead over Bush in Monday's latest three-day tracking poll. Up 2 points from Sunday, that means the bounce after the first debate is sticking. The bounce or the level after the second debate is still good. We're still a little bit ahead. It's a tight race. And you know what? It's going to be a tight race all the way through. That's just the way it is. How, you know, for the 8, 9, or 10 undecided voters who are making this poll difficult on a day-to-day basis, what happens? Are there like 15 people, Riley, that are really the only leftover undecideds, and like three of them go, you know what, today I just woke up, I realized I don't know anymore.
No, no, some of them actually don't talk to polls. And the one you just cited, that I believe was Reuters Zogby, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, you're going to get a spate of polls. I'm immediately suspect of any polling organization that can choose an audience as they did in St. Louis that had so few black people in it.
Yeah.
In a city that's 35-40% black, what were there, 5 black people in the audience?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, well, I guess everybody was busy or already committed to Kerry. I don't know.
Or maybe they were on a list.
They must have, yeah, right. They weren't allowed anywhere near St. Louis during the debate.
What are the possibilities of there being less undecided black voters?
I think most black voters have already made up their minds. A lot of black voters are still pissed off from 2000.
Right.
Haven't lost the edge about what took place in Florida and other parts of the country to black voters.
Right.
4 years ago.
So that might have been why they weren't there, because that was supposedly an audience of undecided.
Undecided. But there's some undecided black folks out there. I saw one quoted in the paper right here in New York the other day.
And
I don't know.
What do you call them there, Mark Riley? The undecided black voters.
Undecided black voters?
Black voters. How do you feel about black voters for Bush? I mean, in all honesty.
Well, there may be three.
Exactly.
You know, there could be three or four. Condoleezza, Colin Powell, Clarence Thomas, and Rod Paige. That's four.
And Powell's kid.
Oh, yeah, Michael. Yeah, he's got a job to protect.
And
so,
Keyes.
Yeah. And Alan Keyes, man. Alan Keyes can get off the reservation.
Way off.
Yeah, extremely far off.
So I'm gonna approach this again, okay? Because now they're in the very credible newspaper, the Daily News here in New York, which I always read.
Yes, every day.
I don't read it.
I read it for the comics.
Well, I mean, but look, they've got this picture from the second debate. There's this big speculation. People are sitting there, sort of like noodling and picking and poking and expanding and enlarging. Charging Bush's back from the first debate in thoughts that there was some sort of transmitter that was hooked to a small, earpiece in his ear, and he was being delivered talking points during the debate. If that was true during the first debate, man, there was something wrong with the transmitter.
It didn't work.
It didn't work at all. It wasn't right.
Hello,
right?
Is this thing on?
Right. And now there's the other question. Was he wired for the second debate? Now, I argue that he wasn't wired with a transmitter, but he was wired on blow. I think the guy was shot up with something. His jaw was working. His eyes were bugging. He was way over the top. He couldn't keep a regulator on his emotions. I think he was drugged. But now there's a picture in the Daily News of a big old thing on his back. Look at that. And they interviewed
an
expert tailor to settle this for it. But it looks clear from this picture that there is some sort of large pack on his back. And the truth of the matter is, if that is the smallest piece of technology that they could find, they must be really stupid. I mean, clearly, I'm assuming that's body armor. I mean, look at that.
It must be body armor, but, it's very bad-fitting body armor, I must say.
Well, my big fear is that's actually the control panel for Bush. This is not just a transmitter. The dude's a robot. And
a red light, a yellow light, and a green light.
Yeah, it's got a little...
like on the debate.
Right, it's got a little USB port on there, Mark Cheney, that they recharge it after each use. So, I don't know, man, but that can't be a transmitter, dude. That can't be, come on. That, it's either body armor or the control panel for the president. And I think they're still, hammering out the kinks, because if his energy level isn't more leveled off tomorrow, he's definitely out blow, or he might just start smoking in the middle of it. And I don't mean smoking a cigarette or smoking a joint. I mean, literally, smoke will start coming out of his ears like Yul Brynner in Westworld.
Hey, wait a minute. You know what? That could be Bush's hard drive.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
That could be his actual, computer.
That's the thing that's hooked up to his brain. Believe me, if they had the technology, they'd certainly be using it for this.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This is secret military technology. He's a prototype for the new robot that's going to go in, and spread freedom. He's the freedom-spreading robot. Spreading freedom with guns.
And Rove is in the men's room with a keyboard in his hand.
Just watch, man. It's just going to be like Westworld. His eyes are going to get all, empty and weird. And I think they went red in Westworld. I can't remember exactly, but one of those robots. about movies where the red beams came out of the eyes, that's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, look, George W. Bush has a lot of ground to make up, I would think, in this third debate. It's tomorrow night. It's on a Wednesday. A lot of people will watch this, unlike last Friday's, I think. And for this, Kerry needs to expand the momentum that he's gotten from the first two, and Bush has got to try and do something to make up the ground that he's lost in these first couple, which is why you hear him, you know, grasping at these small straws of what John Kerry says, nuisance, or some of the other things that he's done over the last couple of weeks or so as he's seen his momentum slide away. Now suddenly it's like, wait a minute, I really do have to try and pull something off here, or I'm going to lose this election.
I sure hope that Kerry figures out a way to bring this information in that we got today that, you know, they're
downplaying bin Laden.
Yeah, Major General John Cooper said, quote, from the Afghan point of view, we don't want to focus too much on bin Laden, end quote. That the guy that they were supposed to get, but they're not going to be able to bring
the one that they said they were going to get him come hell or high water.
That no longer important.
No longer.
But
important.
What is interesting is now that, you know, Christopher Reeve passed away, which is sad.
Yes.
And he was definitely a strong proponent for stem cell research, and I think this is going to come up on Wednesday.
Yeah, because his passing, I think, has brought it really center stage. The whole idea, I believe Senator Kerry referenced Christopher Reeve in the debate last Friday.
Right, and apparently Christopher Reeve, you know, called him on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I don't know, he dropped dead, you know, on Monday. He just, like, we just...
Fell into a coma Saturday, actually, later in
that
same
day.
The same day, yes, the same day.
Man, he was just overwhelmed with excitement and died.
I don't know, I know this. He was a very potent and charismatic spokesperson for stem cell research. And I think his passing is going to have the effect of focusing people's attention on Bush's obstinance on this issue, because he really has been obstinate.
I'm all for it. I mean, how do you feel about it? I don't see that, you know, on any stretch of the imagination, no matter what side of the abortion debate you stand on, a little wad of new cells, a little sort of like, you know, a little sort of little ball of new, fresh little cells is a person.
Here's the thing. I am not in favor of, you know, killing life in order to make stem cells. I don't think anybody is in favor of that. I don't think, you know, killing living human beings would be obviously murder.
Right.
No matter how you look at it.
Right.
But see, the potential here is such that so many illnesses can possibly be cured. We can really be unlocking the door to a whole new level of health care at a certain point. And people are standing in the way of it, in my judgment, on narrow religious grounds.
Yeah, and there might be a way that we can, you know, sort of harvest stem cells in the future, that if we start to, you know, continue the research, that, you know, we could, you know, just create them completely outside of the human, you know, of the wherever they're created now. Boy, I don't know as much as I should. You know, the guy we're having up next, Bruce Babbitt, who's a Democratic candidate for the 1st District of Arizona. I'm sorry, Paul Babbitt.
Paul Babbitt, yeah.
Hey, who's Bruce Babbitt? Oh, my
God. That's his brother.
Is it?
Yeah. He used to be the governor of Arizona.
And I know a guy named Mark Babbitt. He used to book a comedy club. Anyways, that's got nothing to do with anything. Democratic candidate for the 1st District of Arizona. The guy he is running against, you know, stem cells is an issue. Maybe he can address this a little bit, and we're going to talk to him after this. It's 17 past the hour on Air America Radio.
Here's today's Workers Independent News Service, Dow Bob Report. I'm Doug Cunningham. Gains made in ensuring children and the poor are threatened by state budgets that are cutting Medicaid. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, Medicaid budget shortfalls of $40 billion exist in the states. Nearly half the states have acted to restrict enrollment or make it harder to stay in the state children's health insurance program known as CHIP. Children account for nearly half of all those getting Medicaid. Another 4 million are covered under CHIP.
This Stab Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the union for the information age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka.
It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. And we've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for The Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars in the 70s joined Sirius on Totally 70s. Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
The 2000 presidential election was decided by only 537 votes. On November 2nd, your vote can make a tremendous difference. Take the first step to ensure that your voice is heard. Register. JustVote.org is a nonprofit organization where you can register online quickly and easily. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's your democracy. Make it work. JustVote.org.
Past the hour. It's Mark Maron, the man diva, with Mark Riley here.
Good
on
morning.
Morning's edition on Air America Radio. Please email us if you'd like at sedition@airamericaradio.com and go to our blog at morning, or what is it? Morningsedition.com. You know, you can buy hats and underpants there too if you need them. Right now it's, you know, this was brought in by Ramon. He's like, I went in to talk to him, he's sleeping. So this is the president's schedule here for today from the Palm Pilot. 8:30 a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Terrorism is not a nuisance. It's the best damn thing that ever happened to this administration. 9:30 a.m. Speaker rally, Colorado Springs Ice Arena, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Note, tell them we'll give the double axle of evil a triple saddle cow. 11 a.m. Drop in on Columbine NRA chapter. Tell them to just vote and maintain a low profile. Everything will be fine. Ooh. 12:50 p.m. Luncheon, Paradise Valley, Arizona. Traditional Southwestern fare. Gorditas, cinnamon crispas, and a large Mountain Dew. 2 p.m. Mirror time. Locate facial expression between scowl and smirk. Skirk. Smowl? 3 p.m. Rehearse with John Kerry debate dummy. To wipe that smug look off its face, scream, "You tell Tony Blair we're going it alone." 5 p.m., meet with Karen Hughes. Close your eyes and relax while her words gradually replace reality. 10 p.m., bedtime in Phoenix. Think happy thought. The race is a dead heat. But it's a dry heat. Okay, now, let's talk about what we're doing here with our guest. Now, we've had a series of guests who are, you know, running for Congress.
Right, either the House or the Senate.
Who are in tight races with Republicans or Democrats. And, you know, the honest truth is that the Democrats have, you know, little chance, virtually, you know, no chance of regaining control of the House. But what's happening is the Democratic National Party is getting behind candidates who have the they're going to be overseeing large districts.
Yeah.
Now, Arizona's first district is a huge district with a large cross-section of people. So given the fact that we may not win the House back, we can start to, you know, re-democratize certain states. And Paul Babbitt is part of that plan. He's on the phone with us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How you doing? And Paul Babbitt, of course, is running for the first congressional district seat in Arizona. He's running against an incumbent by the name of Rick Renzi. Now, am I wrong? Is that 58,000 square miles?
That's right, Mark. It's the largest district aside from those states that are single districts. It's the size of Illinois.
Wow.
It's huge, a third of the size of the state of Arizona.
What's the population over there?
It's got to be around 570-some-odd thousand by law, right?
That's correct.
Hmm. So it's about 10 people per square mile.
I say in this campaign that I drive 100 miles to visit with 10 people. It's a bit of an exaggeration, but not too far from the truth.
So tell us about this guy Renzi. He's giving you a hard time, huh?
Well, he's a freshman, of course. This was a new district formed after the 2000 census.
Uh-huh.
And we have a Democratic registration hitch of about 8% across the district.
Oh, good.
So we're working mightily to get the registration.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that, and now we're getting people to commit to voting, either by mail, early balloting, or on election day.
Yeah. So how are the ads? You got some? You taking him down with some nasty ads? Is he taking shots at you with some nasty ads?
Well, he's taking the typical shots at us. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a long history of local government here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm well known in the district. And, of course, I have a bit of a record, and he's trying to paint me as a tax increaser. And
yeah.
It's pretty laughable. I've raised taxes, and the folks in your listening audience will really find this funny.
Yeah.
I've raised taxes, I think, a total of $9 per year over the course of what he's objecting to. So it's just a real bad
thing. But
that's the way they do it.
Right, that's enough for him to slander you and be petty about it. What about stem cell research? Because we've been talking about that here. You know, Kerry's been talking about it. And, of course, Christopher Reeve died the other day, sadly. And
yeah, wasn't that a sad, sad day?
It really was. And the proponent, he was a big, strong proponent for stem cells. And now this is one of the points of difference that you have with your opponent. How's that playing out? What do you explain to us a little bit about it and where you stand on that?
Well, my conservative friend, wants no part of it, and I say let's listen to the folks who are directly involved and who have experience, and Ron Reagan comes to mind, and Nancy Reagan comes to mind when they see the problem. They live with the problem, and they know that the future is brighter if we engage in the science that is dictated.
Yeah, and it's weird that this administration is frightened of science and even resists listening to scientists unless they tell them what they want to hear.
Time and time again.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's just like, what are they trying to stop progress? Are they trying to make it the Middle Ages again? Is that one of the platforms your opponent is running on?
Just very close to it.
So we'll talk a little bit about the Native American community when we come back. Can you stay with us for a minute, Paul?
I sure will.
Okay,
fantastic.
Great.
Our guest is Paul Babbitt. He's running for Congress in the 1st District in Arizona. When we come back, we'll talk more with him. We'll take your phone calls at 866-303-2270. We'll also have the Presidential Daily Briefing and the Liberal Agenda, all on Air America Radio.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 130 channels of 100% commercial-free music plus news, sports, and talk. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo, all for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly $9.99 subscription and hardware sold separately. Hardware price may vary by retailer. Activation fee applies.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Dominic.
This is J.C. Chazet, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference. The voting booth.
Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, all right?
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote. Vote.
We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
This is Earth and Sky. On this day 5 years ago, the United Nations declared that 6 billion humans inhabit the Earth.
It's also estimated that 1 in 5 people worldwide lack access to safe drinking water. We spoke with famed Stanford ecologist Paul Ehrlich about water and the growing population.
The problem is that not only are we pumping out groundwater at unsustainable rates, we're also polluting water. For example, when I first started to do field research in the Rocky Mountains, you could drink the water almost anywhere fresh out of a stream. Now you'll get giardia if you do that, because there are so many people and so many animals brought in by people that diseases are spreading. One of the things that few people understand is that the epidemiological environment, that is, our susceptibility as a species to diseases, is running downhill very rapidly as our population gets larger. It's in part because the more people we have, the more likely it is that new diseases will jump into our population from animal populations, particularly in Africa. And it's in part due to our rapid transport system, so that sick people can spread disease rapidly around the world, as, for example, SARS indicated.
More from Paul Ehrlich on our next Earth and Sky.
Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Since Hurricane Charley slammed into Florida on August 13th, the Red Cross has provided refuge to nearly 286,000 residents, served more than 5.6 million meals, and offered mental health services to more than 23,500 disaster victims. All American Red Cross disaster assistance is made possible by voluntary donations of time and money from the American people. Help the victims of the recent hurricanes by making a financial gift to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund and calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
Hi, this is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius. Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug-Free.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there.
Good morning.
We're talking with the Democratic candidate for the 1st District of Arizona, former mayor of Flagstaff, Paul Davitt. Good morning, Paul. We're back with you.
Good morning, Mark.
So now a large, you are, a lot of Native Americans are within your potential district. What are some of the issues that they need addressed?
That's correct. A large portion of this district is comprised of Native America, the Navajo tribe, and others. And they have huge, huge problems with education concerns, health care concerns, and, of course, their special relationship with the federal government. If we go back to 1868 when treaties were formed, there were certain obligations undertaken by the federal government that that have a very sketchy history of fulfillment.
These are people that could really benefit from Democratic policy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Repeating myself, education, healthcare.
Sure.
They have unemployment rates of 40-50% and more. So economic development and job creation is a huge, huge problem in Native America.
Do you see the Navajos that live in your district as wanting to change the fundamental relationship with the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs?
They have many, many concerns about the Bureau of Indian Affairs and that bureaucracy, but even more so with the current administration and its unwillingness to fund the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and for that matter, the Indian Health Service, at levels that really reflect their needs and their growing populations.
How has No Child Left Behind impacted children on the reservation?
Well, feature this, that the schools are far distant from each other. So choice is really not a matter of choice. What really needs to happen with No Child Left Behind, of course, is to fulfill the promise of funding at the levels that were talked about when No Child Left Behind was first proposed.
So now, given that, you know, the possibilities of the Democrats, you know, regaining control of the House is pretty small, what do you really seek to achieve?
Well, I want to bring those concerns, the concerns of rural Arizona, to the Congress, support the Kerry administration.
Okay, and also start to maybe make the population of these states, these swing states, more, you know, aware of what the Democrats can and will do.
Well, you know, Arizona has a tradition of Democratic politics, and only in the not too distant past have we become somewhat Republican. But the last election, you know, we very nicely elected a Democratic governor, Janet Napolitano.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Democratic attorney general. So people are starting to pay attention again to their Democratic traditions here in the state of Arizona.
Paul Babbitt, you're debating Rick Renzi next Tuesday at Northern Arizona University. Will this debate be as nasty as the commercials that are being run by both sides here?
Well, we've had little luck in getting together, so that'll be the first forum where we've actually been together. There have been several that I've attended where I understood he was going to appear and did not appear. I think there have been four of those so far. So it'll be the first one. But
I read that you got Ted Danson campaigning for you. You're going to bring him to the debate. Maybe that'll help out a little bit.
Well, I should. Ted's a native of this area and a longtime friend and supporter. So I value Ted's support.
Paul Babbitt, thanks a lot for talking to us. It was great talking to you. Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
Good luck.
And if your listeners want to look at me, go to paulbabbitt.com.
Okay, and also they can go. Thanks a lot, Paul. You can go to moveonpac.org for more information about the Democratic momentum in terms of trying to take back some of these legislative seats.
Yes, in the Congress.
We got phones now. 866-303-2270. We got people on the phones. You want to do some of these, Mark?
Sure, let's go to the telephone.
All right, Cheryl in New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Mark, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Do you know that I listen to Air America from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, almost entirely through the day?
Wow, well, thanks.
Thank you.
I wanted to discuss stem cells. I happen to have a 15-year-old son who has juvenile diabetes.
Yeah, educate me, please.
Well, the problem is that he takes 6 injections a day.
Oh.
And this is just to survive.
Mm.
And the biggest problem that I have with this is watching my son inject 56 units of insulin. That's his bedtime shot. And that goes into his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even watch him do it anymore because it just kills me to watch him. And if there were a cure for diabetes, we could just pack the syringes up and he'd be normal again.
Yeah.
This poor kid has to watch everything he eats. When he goes into the ocean during the summer, every 20 minutes we have to call him out. He has to check his blood because if he goes low in the water, he could drown.
Wow.
We have to wake him up 3 o'clock in the morning at least once a week to make sure he doesn't go low through the night because then he won't wake up either.
Mm.
I mean, this has been a nightmare in our family, and I know that it could be worse. The day that he was diagnosed, he was put, the only room in the hospital was in pediatric oncology. So I said to my husband, as much as this sucks, that sucks more.
Mm.
So we had, like, instant perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is diabetes does suck, especially for a young child.
Sure.
And if there were stem cell research done seriously, and even the hope that we could stop these injections and he'd live a normal, long life
mm-hmm.
without the fear of blindness, without the fear of losing limbs, I think that if people want to make an issue a personal one, this should be a personal issue, because even if you don't have anyone in your family now with diabetes, there but for the grace of God. I mean, we have no one in our family that has it, and it just happened.
Important point.
Well, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, any of these diseases may not be in your family at this moment, but it could be tomorrow.
Sure, sure. And hopefully, you know, this will come up in the debate tomorrow, and Carrie can really take us down this. And you know, hearing your pain is you know, it's really moving to me, and I'm sure moving to a lot of people. I really appreciate you sharing the message on our show.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Wow.
It does hit home. And, you know, for people that have many of these different diseases and illnesses, stem cell research represents the last great hope of a cure. Because, you know, diabetes, there is theoretically no cure. I mean, you can minimize the symptoms, you can deal with monitoring and that sort of thing, and you can live a long and happy life. But to stop the disease, there really is no cure.
We've got to evolve this research. We've got to evolve this medical technology. You know, we can't be held back by narrow-minded, selective morality of religious fanatics. Joey in Atlanta, how are you, Joey?
Hey, Joey.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, all right. What's up?
First of all, 2 points I want to make, and the second point is the most important. I had an opportunity to meet and listen to John Sinton speak Saturday at one of our Democratic events in town.
John Kerry?
No, John Sinton, our president.
Oh, John Sinton.
Our president.
Your boss.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he was great to listen to, and he told the backstory of Air America, and it was fun, and we hope to get some of you guys down here. We're building a big, big Democratic organization in North Atlanta, which is Republican country.
Fly us down and feed us. We'll be there.
We'll be there. We'll work for food.
We'll invite you down to feed you.
Okay. All right.
My second point is Christopher Reeve died. He was like a he was like my hero growing up. I was 10 years old the first time I saw Superman, and followed his career thereafter. And I felt like a childhood friend died. So I followed the news media yesterday. Every time they would talk about him, I would listen. And it did, it seemed like throughout most of the day, even on Air America, our local Air America affiliate, the CNN News, when they would speak about Christopher Reeve, they wouldn't say stem cell research. They would say spinal cord research.
Really?
I didn't really. And I would flip over to one of the other news talk stations in town who does ABC News, and they would say spinal cord research and not stem cell research. And I didn't really hear the term stem cell research until I got home and started listening to some of the editorialized shows on CNN and Fox and MSNBC. So I'm wondering if perhaps the mainstream media is were a little shy to use the term stem cell research for fear of being accused of politicizing Christopher Reeve's death.
You know, that may be a legitimate point, but I should say that we mentioned both spinal cord and stem cell research when we mentioned this yesterday.
Well, that's just, it's interesting because, you know, Christopher Reeve was pretty specific about being a proponent of
stem cell research.
And maybe in the initial reports, maybe, you know, Joey was being a little sensitive to it, but it's certainly possible that they were trying to avoid any sort of accusations.
Well, when you have a broadcast group that's going to air an anti-Kerry film on 62 of its affiliates because it feels like it and it says it's newsworthy, that's not a
completely.
Concern. Yeah, I mean, it is something to be concerned about.
Completely, completely possible. So are we going to do the PDB on the other side? You want to do it now?
Let's do it now.
All right, now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Israeli Think Tank Thinks Too Much. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that an Israeli think tank has concluded that the war in Iraq has actually created momentum for many terrorists, chiefly al-Qaeda and its affiliates. While analytical thought of any kind has long been an enemy of this administration, a report so contrary to your goals from Israel must be considered doubly dangerous. Israel has always been the most exposed nation to terrorism, so in a sense, Israel is like a canary in the terrorism coal mine. If the canary comes out of the mine coughing, we have two choices. Either we get out of the mine, which in this case is not an option, either practically or politically, or we can shut the damn canary up. Fortunately, this canary relies on us for all of its birdseed. We suggest bribing Israel with some new weapon systems, maybe something shiny from Lockheed, in exchange for some Bush-friendly think tank synergy. Someone really needs to point out to these people that we were attacked and that the world is a dangerous place. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Like you got to tell the Israelis that.
Huh?
Like you got to tell the Israelis that the world is a dangerous place.
Oh, yeah, the Office of Homeland Security, man. Man, what are they thinking? We'll be back with the liberal agenda. A couple more. Are we no more calls? A couple more calls? What are we doing? Yeah?
Yeah, let's do some calls.
Yeah, Kent Jones has come in. We're going to talk movies. You throw a call in, you know, 866-303-2270, and we'll talk to you in a minute. 46 past the hour, America Radio.
There is a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we are a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system originally available only for use by therapists is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It doesn't use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It's a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you are tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's www.theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to register for our totally unique service.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take EsterC, E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for EsterC and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now in Berkeley paperback.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Donovan.
This is J.C. Shazay, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference.
The voting booth. Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, all right?
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote. Vote.
We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, I'm Miranda from McLean, Virginia, and I just wanted to say it's time to vote. Get out there. Have your voice heard, young, old, and in between. It's time to change the nation.
This is Marsha Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm asking everyone, please, don't let apathy and laziness interfere with your voting this November. Please learn about the issues and the candidates, and then vote your conscience.
Hey out there in the Sirius Nation, this is Tom Roberts from Wabino, Wisconsin. This year, your vote counts more than ever. We need to overlook the hatred and vote the right man into office. Get out there and vote, America.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Frankenstein, right? This network? Yeah, you think so? It's late in the afternoon, right?
You ever going to CBS?
I heard he has a TV show. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I think it's on. It's not funny. It's not funny. Yeah, you're making fun of me and, you know,
Going home now.
Morning tradition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Kent Jones is in the room with us.
Hello.
How are you? Let me just make sure everyone knows everybody. That's Kalo on the board. That's Clutch Larson in the booth with P.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman out in the night seeking information, perhaps trying to revive Ramon, who I think has a concussion on the couch in the back. I don't know.
He's resting.
But Kent, We got things we could talk about, but I want to talk about movies because, you know, Matt Stone, what is it, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, is that the way you pronounce their names? Because I know they're foreign. But it's Dutch.
Trey Bagg and Matt Stoner.
Yeah. And, well, you know, they were supposed to show up here Thursday. They're bailing on us, and I've got tickets to go see a press screening of their movie, which I'm going to go see. And I'm upset that they're not showing up because my wife has, you know, dragged me into a regular... When I go home, she literally makes me, like, part of her ritual. She likes to watch South Park with me. She watches it chronically without me. She's addicted to South Park.
I got it.
But she likes to watch it with me because it makes her laugh when I laugh. And I do get some laughs. Now, you saw I Heart Huckabees.
I did.
I'm a big David O. Russell fan. I think I've interviewed him. I think he's a bright fellow. Made some great... Three Kings was genius. Spanking the Monkey, genius.
I concur.
And?
I concur. I Heart Huckabees is a real interesting movie.
Yeah.
It's not gut funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to sit around and just laugh and laugh, but it's interesting. It's an existential comedy. It asks the big questions. Why are we here?
Does it deal with narcissism?
Not directly.
But
not directly.
Like...
However, it does get into the idea, are we interconnected or are we all separate beings?
So that's
so. If you're a narcissist, then, you know, the separation
I'm not even sure where I end and you begin, and nor Riley.
It's just extensions
of me. Yeah.
Wow. You want to connect? You want to say that you're connected to Dick Cheney, do you?
No, I draw a line. If I am connected to Dick Cheney,
Karen Hughes,
that'd be the bad part of all of us.
By the way, is that an Al Jazeera baseball hat you have?
Yeah, it's semi-pro.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's Triple A team.
Al Jazeera baseball hat. Do they have that? Do they have those?
I don't know. It looked like Arabic on top of his hat. Did
I got it? I got it.
I know, got it.
Hey,
game over, man.
There, heads up. Catch.
I got it.
I'm sorry, I got it.
Go see Huckabee's. It's good stuff, though.
Yeah,
it's
good cast. What was the other ensemble comedy that guy did with Ben Stiller and Tina Leone?
Flirting with Disaster.
I thought that was good, too. I liked the guy. He's an intense guy. When I guest hosted later once, he was my guest, and I really found him sort of very engaged, and he's a guy that makes stylized films that are
absolutely
definitely his own.
I liked what he was doing in this.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It didn't really punch me comedy-wise, but it was certainly a good effort, and I enjoyed it.
And Riley.
Yeah.
All right. So
you know what? I really have
down.
To get out of the house more because you just referenced about 10 movies, none of which I've seen. I got to stop watching Turner Classic Movies. That seems to be all I watch.
It's consistent, though. You know they're great films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? And you went to see the Team America.
Team America.
You don't go see movies, but you decide, all right, I'm going to go see this one.
Well, because I thought those chumps were coming up here.
Yeah.
Why? Trey Bagg and Matt Stoner or whatever the names are.
Trey Bagg. I think that's his name from here on out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I went to see it.
Yeah.
Do I have to tell you what I thought of it?
Yeah, just don't ruin the ending for anybody because I got in trouble for that once before. But tell us what you thought of the movie.
Sucked. And this is why I don't go to a lot of movies.
Right.
Because I'm ultimately disappointed. I really enjoy South Park. Okay. I think it's a really funny series. And Chef is one of my favorite characters on any television show other than Jerry Springer. Who will be with us Friday?
Thursday.
But this was sophomoric without being funny.
Right.
I can deal with sophomoric if you're funny.
Right.
But don't be sophomoric and not have, you know. And there were a couple things that were funny, and there was a lot of, I guess what you would call bathroom humor.
Uh-huh.
I guess in an effort to sort of, you know, and a lot of cursing. In an effort, I guess, to show, you know, here are these Cupid doll little marionettes, sort of. It didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't. And that's just for me. Yeah. I would say to people, because see, I am a really strange critic of film, all right? There are films, my favorite films are films that nobody has ever seen.
Okay, let's see. He's a film buff, and I've seen a lot of movies like what?
All right, well, one of my favorite all-time movies is Shoot the Piano Player. Absolutely great.
That was Truffaut, right?
Truffaut.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, great movie. Midnight Cowboy, which obviously a lot of people saw.
I'm walking here.
Yep. Those kind of movies are the kind of movies I really like. Movies that are kind of tragic, tragedies in their own way.
But you also said a good point. That's great. It's a great film. You also said something, you know, on the break, where you said a lot of times these new comedies, especially the ones that are geared like towards younger people, they no longer write comedy. They just have references.
Yeah.
So people laugh at the reference as opposed to having anything clever to do.
Yeah, and they don't laugh at the joke. They laugh at the fact that you're doing Star Wars in the middle of a marionette movie.
Right, so I'm going to go see this afternoon. Clearly, I might be napping.
And by the way, if Trey and Matt do come...
Trey Bag?
Yeah, Trey Bag and Matt Stoner.
Yeah.
I take it all back.
All right. There's a liberal agenda. Write these down. Here's your marching orders from the Streisand compound. One, get ready to blame any future Mount St. Helens eruption on Bush environmental policies. Two, try to have the Bush administration label you an enemy combatant just to look cool to your friends.
Cool.
Yeah. Three, apply for faith-based federal funds for a Wiccan preschool.
That's right.
I went to one of those.
Yeah, me too.
Look how that turned out.
Four, insist that no viruses be harmed in the production of flu vaccine. And five, phrase of the day, if you don't believe me, check the internet.
Oh, two to the asses.
Thanks for dropping by, Ken.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Okay, that's
good morning.
There's Liz Winstead getting ready for a show.
I just couldn't wait. I just saw these four handsome gentlemen in here, and I just burst in.
Okay. Oh!
Well, thanks for guys.
What can I do?
Look out.
Stay
good
tuned
show.
For Liz. Next show.
I'm coming up next.
What do we got tomorrow, Riley?
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, the third and final presidential debate. We'll preview the big night with help from Democratic Chairman Terry McAuliffe and author Ron Suskind. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good day, folks.
You too.
All right.